Everybody loves Donna Mike.
The press game is such a ridiculous game.
Yeah, it is.
It's a game.
Yeah.
All these drug rumors are a game. I don't want any kid doing what I tried to do 30 years ago, and I mean that. And I think it's very, so it doesn't matter if it's LSD, cocaine, pot, any of those things. You know, because if I answer one, then there'll be another one.
Yeah.
And I just am not going to answer those questions. And it may cost me the election.
Stupid president.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow.
Where'd that come from?
From some dude that privately taped conversations.
Wow.
Secretly recorded.
With Bush, yeah.
Pretty interesting.
What's the matter with my microphone?
Something's
hold on.
Something's really,
hold on.
Really
sounds
wrong.
Soft and cuddly.
Something's really wrong with it, right?
Am
I wrong about that?
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
really,
no, you're not wrong.
What
no.
the hell?
No, you're not. Did.
Let's switch microphones for Mike.
All right, let's try another one, shall we?
There you go.
Yes. Try
this one.
That one.
Hello? That's a little more normal?
Yeah, that sounds good.
A little more normal as opposed to?
Yeah, hold on. Okay.
As opposed to this one?
Well, now, that one doesn't sound bad.
Well, that's because I'm close to this one.
Yeah. Well, that one was turned off, though.
Hello?
See, I'm sly like that. I turn them on and off. And
it's muddy sounding.
Check 1, 2.
As we said.
Now,
1, 2.
Okay.
One.
I didn't know if you were going, check.
No, I'm just trying to, this would be the normal way that I would be talking during the show.
No, not today.
No, okay, well then.
Now I'd have to talk like this.
Okay,
it's
Mike,
one of those deals where,
switch to number 4.
All right. Okay, should
there
we?
There it is.
Okay.
Or do you want to unplug them?
Should we unplug them, Ron?
We could probably do that.
All right. It'd be more convenient.
Can I get a door?
Although.
Your Mike, your way, Don and Mike show.
Oh, very nice.
I'd like to have a microphone that actually works.
Although,
we can do that.
Your show, your station, the Don and Mike show. See, we've got a little funny parody.
Mm-hmm.
That someday we'll do after the schedule is over of a home development group that runs commercials.
I'd love to hear it.
And they in the commercial they say, like, I love French doors that go out to the backyard, and the guy says, we can do that. And then they sing, you know, your home,
your way.
And we've always theorized, like, the dumbest things, like, here's how our commercial would go. You know what I was thinking? I'd like a box in my kitchen area that would keep frozen things frozen and cold things cold. And
can
then
can I get a, it's not the microphone.
Oh.
It's the processing. That's exactly
yes,
what I thought
it is. Well, that was
so
fun.
You know what? We got a real simple way of fixing this.
Although, what are you doing?
We can just plug that into Mike.
Yeah, just take the entire
Mike,
stand.
Excuse me.
That's what I'll do.
I was right in the whole middle of our...
I'm sorry, Don.
Of our thing, of our
of
big
the parody, the great parody that's coming someday of that home builder.
So some sort of apparatus that would refrigerate the food.
I'd really like a home that had a basement with chains and whips.
Buzz.
We can do that.
That's kind of against the thought that we had.
Oh, I see. It's I'm the, not playing in the spirit
it's
of...
It's the simple things. It's
yes.
Like, you know what I'd really... I'll play with Rob while Mike
all
fix
right.
the microphone.
All right, you go ahead.
Mike 5 is, now you want to switch actually with Mike 3.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
Bacardi Limon.
No, Mike,
Tony Diggs.
Is there an engineer around here anywhere?
It's no. Monday, I don't know. No, it's not Monday.
It's well, Tuesday.
Well, maybe they are here.
Yeah, yesterday Tuesday. Was President's Day. Happy
right.
President's Day, Don.
That's right.
So the guy says, which one are you on now?
He should be on 2 now.
Now he's on 2, okay?
Hello? Hi, is that better?
That sounds better.
You tell me.
It sounds better to me.
Yeah.
Okay. And
you
Rob?
Better? Yes?
Give me a check. Okay, beautiful. All the problems solved?
I'd really like to get a bathroom that works. Can you do that for me?
We did it in more specific ways. Hold on. Like, I was working on a good one.
Okay.
I've noticed when people come to the door, there's no way for me to know. Would there be some kind of a system you could get where you push a button and it would announce it through the house?
We've got that on elevation 12. It's called a doorbell.
Can I get that?
Absolutely.
Your home, your way.
I was wondering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is possible. I would like to have a telephone in my kitchen and my bedroom.
Wait a minute. You want a phone in 2 separate rooms?
Yes.
I think we can do that.
We can do that. Your home, your way.
I noticed
that the upstairs windows don't have glass in them.
Can we maybe arrange to have glass in all the windows upstairs?
Like a transparent glass?
That you can actually see through.
Let me check this catalog.
Your home, your way.
Don and my home.
You know, I've noticed another problem in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
That when I bring home frozen foods or foods that I want to prepare,
right.
I don't have any way to make them warm, to heat them up.
You're talking about a range.
Yes.
And a stove?
Yeah, can you do that?
In a minute.
Your home, your way, Don and Mike Holmes.
I was looking, all the floors are beautiful.
Thank you.
They're solid concrete and just so level.
That's right.
I was wondering if there was a way we could make them softer.
Have you ever heard of something called carpeting?
Do you have that?
Not a chance.
Your home, your way,
Don and Mike Holmes.
Okay.
Now, it's time for the Groaners.
Are we playing a new game today?
Yes, we are, Mike.
Figured we might.
Yes, we are.
It's a good game.
Thought we might be doing that.
A new game.
Yes, we are. Hold on a second.
Where's we haven't lost the Groaners.
Where's the crap? Oh, here it is.
We're going to need those.
All right. Please be welcoming the newest Groaners feature.
Ah, very good.
It's called
My Three Groaners.
Rob, please explain this stupidest of Groaner games.
This is a great game. What we have today...
My Three Groaners.
...are, as the title tells you, three Groaners. Now, whether I wrote them or whether the service wrote them...
Right.
...not part of the
game. That's irrelevant. Uh-huh.
What you will do is you'll listen to the Groaners, and after each Groaner, you and Buzz will each have the opportunity to ring in and try and find the common theme of all the Groaners. All now, right. Of course, this gets easier as the game progresses.
Of course.
So, if you think you have a hunch as to what the theme of you're...
My Three Groaners.
You're just giving me a cue for that, weren't
right.
you?
Okay. So, if you know what the theme is, you should ring in. But once you guess... Oh, I'm sorry, Mike.
Jews.
That's not the theme.
It's a very good guess.
Now, had we been playing the game and you rang in with the incorrect, you would have been eliminated.
Oh, okay, so you got to make sure you know what you're doing.
Right.
It's risky.
And that's how we play.
Okay.
My Three Groaners.
Sounds like that was recorded on my microphone over the weekend.
There we go. Through wax paper.
That's right.
Okay. What tourist attraction makes an old man feel young again?
Which one?
Viagra Falls. All right, Buzz and Mike, would either one of you like to... Am I doing this correctly, Rob?
Exactly. That's how I dream.
Would either of you like to make a guess now? Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's ED drugs, Don.
No.
Wow. You're out of the game.
Now, Buzz has the luxury of hearing the next two Groaners.
Wait, it's a luxury for us all.
Buzz, where do over-the-hill women find the best bargains?
I don't know where.
Of course, that hit the Walmart.
Uh-huh.
All right. I'd like to buzz in with a theme.
Yes, Buzz.
The theme is the elderly.
Winner!
Congratulations, Buzz.
I noodled that through.
And the third Groaner.
You housed me on that one.
What classic Disney cartoon features a scrappy dog and an aging bald fella? That would be Liddy and the Tramp.
The best.
My Three Groaners.
Okay. Thank you for playing.
Hey, now.
Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you, Mike.
Oh, man.
Now, was that one just for you, or did B.A. have anything to do with that?
That was all me. So pleased to say.
Enjoyed them.
Wonderful.
Well, hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
My Three Groaners.
Hi. Hi there.
Hello.
John Kerry.
Oh, hi there.
Bert.
My Three Groaners.
Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yes, and Alex, bring the genius behind My Three Groaners out. Not to be confused with Super Speed Groaner, Comedy Chronology, Solidarity, The Intruder.
Don't forget, All or Nothing.
Solidarity.
Has that
very similar.
Anyway, here he is now.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy, himself. A man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Your discretion advised.
was fun when they played, and I liked when they rang in.
Right.
Good afternoon. Is it the elderly? Yes, it is. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Baruzaran, and all the siblings.
Hey, Baruz.
The two guys responsible for greenlighting the One Day at a Time reunion special.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. That's right. We're behind it.
My green room.
All the way.
Hello.
All right. Hi there. God, my show, new episode on this Tuesday.
Tuesday. 02-22-05.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Let's get retarded. Don and Mike show, here you go. It's February 22nd, 2005, from anywhere in America. Pleased to be calling 877-365-3636 from Canada, from Mexico, 800-636-1067. And if you're lucky enough to be listening to WJFK-FM, hello, 202-432-1067. Marty. Marty with the party.
Don and Mike.
Yes, Marty.
How are you anyways?
Okay.
Okay, I got a presidential groaner for you.
No, here's the deal, dude. This is just like calling with a joke.
Yes.
Oh, hold on, Mike. I'm sorry. Which one do you want again?
Two.
Okay, sorry.
I think technically Marty also gave us a how are you doing.
Yes. But that's okay in the early part.
Not when he's going to call with a groaner, though.
Well, if he wants to give up his phone number.
Oh, okay, all right.
Do you want to give up your phone number like we do with people with their jokes?
Lay it out there, buddy.
Of course he does.
You're kidding. So we have your permission to give out the number if we don't laugh at the groaner?
I'm all ears.
He's lonely.
Right.
Would we be able to confirm that? No, is that the number he's calling in right now?
Yeah, I can see that's the number he's calling.
Excellent.
Yeah. Hold on. Is Super Sleuth Joe Arringer on that as well?
Yes.
Okay, everybody's written down the same number.
Good, it matches.
All right, go ahead, dude.
What do you call George Washington's fake teeth?
What do you call...
Pres adentures.
What do you call his false teeth? Pres adentures. All right, well, listen... Call this guy, call this tool in area code 707.
Relentlessly.
His phone number is 580-0506. And magically, we'll have that number on DonAndMikeWebsite.com in today's show recaps.
Wonderful.
So it just never ends.
My three groaners.
It never ends.
Waited all weekend, the three-day weekend to play.
Sure did.
It was worth it.
So,
very good groaner.
I don't know about your weekend. I had a weekend... That was all over the place. Not the best President's Day weekend.
Oh, that's because yours wasn't Gallagherific.
I've never had.
Did you?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he did. Oh. He did.
I did.
And I don't know which would be more painful, going to actually see Gallagher or passing two kidney stones.
Ow!
Which I had the thrill of doing this weekend. I won't bore you with it. It sucks. They say it's like having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine, really, if it hurt that bad to have a baby, none of us would be here because none of our mothers would have given birth to us.
Mm, man.
This is the worst, but I can laugh about it now.
But that's what I've heard. I've heard it's the most painful thing in the world.
Well, I had him a couple of years ago, and maybe the fact that I went to that acupuncturist on Friday.
Yeah. Man,
what did I tell you?
Got things moving.
You think she loosened things up for you?
Yeah, I don't think that she made the kidney stones on Friday.
But all of a sudden, you go see an acupuncturist.
You know she's not Chinese.
Yeah, that's what she wants you to think.
I told you she's a round eye.
Yeah,
I've seen
makeup,
it.
Makeup, maybe.
Rob Spiewak, everyone. Rob is starring in Castaway.
Rob's beard is growing.
Oh, my
Rob's
God.
Rob's beard is growing.
Rob's beard is taking over his head.
It's amazing.
It is. Acupuncture did all this.
But tell me more about this surgery you're talking about.
What surgery is it?
For someone's eyes. So someone Oriental can have nice, round American eyes. Tell me about this, Dr. Fudge.
It's not a surgery. It's makeup. It's done with tape.
You are.
Foundation.
Okay, Fuzzy.
It's called the Reverse Moto, if you've ever seen the Peter Lorre Mr. Moto movie.
Gotcha.
The Reverse Moto.
So, you know, I'm like all guys. I go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, you know. Normally in bed. That's why we have the rubber sheets.
Like right? All guys do.
But occasionally I, you know, get this strength to get up and get my ass out of bed. And I guess it was Saturday morning, and I was up, and things were fine. I went to the bathroom, and I'm standing there doing my business, and something hurt real bad down there, Right. In WT area. Yeah, I can use code. In wet thing area. And it hurt real bad.
Ow.
And then some blood came out, and it was the combination of seeing blood come out and hurting bad.
Oh.
And I was standing up in front of the toilet, and I went, seriously, I went, oh,
and, like,
God,
and you spun around like
yes,
that?
Yes, and my bathroom looked like a CSI crime scene.
Oh, no.
Because
we
there's,
have to repaint.
Yeah, there's stuff everywhere.
We all have splatter.
All over the place.
This appears to be self-inflicted.
Oh, this is no good here.
So I call the doctor, and, you know, like all great doctors, he says, well, there's really nothing we can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just drink lots of water and cranberry juice. And
you can say, this is a mess to me, and I'll give you, you know, you just say, this is a mess.
This is a mess.
No, this is murder.
It's a different style between William Peterson and David Caruso.
I love your David Caruso.
David Caruso is always, you know, he's always making
your David Caruso kills.
And always appearing. Much like Jack Bauer is now beginning to always appear.
Yes.
David Caruso always appears.
Oh, and before the kidney stones, that reminds me. 24 last night, Frida nailed this. Tell me how many of you thought the same thing as she thought.
Okay.
When they've got Aisha Taylor.
Yeah.
And they've got her strapped into the interrogation room. They wheel in the dead guy.
Yeah.
And they say to her, you see him, he's dead. Now you're going to help us. And she says, I got the computer. The only way to get the computer is with my thumbprint or his thumbprint.
Right.
They say to her, all right, get in the car. Now, Frida says to me, hold on, I know that we suspend disbelief when we're watching this show. However, and she uses great TV logic, she says, this girl, Aisha Taylor, she's on CSI. Didn't we just see a CSI where they cut off a dead guy's thumb to get the prints? Now, they rolled the dead guy, the other bad guy that was in it,
mm-hmm.
they rolled him in the gurney in the room to show her that he was
dead.
So her
thing was, couldn't they chop off the thumb and use that?
Yes.
I thought that immediately when she came in, but I thought that, well, if they need her, maybe it's because it's also a heat-sensitive thing.
Well, I know her passwords, and she knew the procedure, but still, I thought the same thing. I think everybody thought that.
And think back to...
Didn't work out real well for her.
No.
It's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Is it The Eighth Day? Is that the one? Anyway, it's about a guy who makes fake people with computers, mm-hmm. and you regenerate organs and stuff. And anyway, about cloning is what it's about.
Right.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger rips off the guy's thumb mm-hmm. to get in. So, you know, here I am thinking the same thing last night. Come on.
Yeah.
I want to suspend disbelief with 24. But cut off the guy's finger.
Well, then you can't have the whole plot line. And incidentally, once he doesn't give up the information, so they wait 5 seconds before they put a bullet in her chest. But with him, he gets the butt of the rifle, so he can live to, you know, be in another episode.
Yeah. Let's hear it for the Anaz family once again coming through.
The Anaz
sadly
Araz.
Sadly, father.
Is it Araz?
Yes.
Father Araz is dead now.
All right.
Yes.
Killed by his, and his boy's name is.
Barus.
Barus. Who can blame Barus for putting a bullet in his old man?
Here's all I have to say.
Not at all.
Don't bring me down.
You know,
Barus.
Of all the family members, though.
Don't we have that song somewhere?
I believe we do. Yeah.
I was hoping the mother would be the first one to go,
so that we don't have to deal with. So we don't have to deal with her cigarette smoke breath.
That's
please
not.
Kill me first. I hope that the nuclear power plant's meltdown. The other thing that's so great is that Tony Almeida has gone from, now if you watch the show, the last year since the last episode of shows, he was like down on his luck, kicked out of the agency, broke up with his wife, was an alky, down and, you know.
Accused of being a traitor.
In 3 hours real time on the show.
Right. You know who the big villain is this year? Is the head of CTU.
Yeah, well,
she's
maybe,
evil.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's going to be the big, big villain.
But Tony Almeida, man, this, is it Almeida?
Almeida.
Almeida.
Oh, he's a traitor.
At the beginning of this season, 24,
thanks for your help,
which always happens in 24 hours.
Right.
He's getting drunk in the middle of the day and doesn't want to do anything. And all of a sudden, Jack Bauer makes one phone call. Mm. And not only is he reinstated with all privileges.
Security clearance, everything.
He gets his gun back.
Well, he saved the Secretary of Defense's daughter. I mean, what better way to get reinstated than that? I mean, you get out of that room.
I know.
You know, that bartender he's living with doesn't want him out, you know.
Where are you going now?
I love 24, though.
Yeah. But the last night, it was just, you know, That was good. But there's so much action in 24. It has so much more action than the average television show.
Oh, yeah.
That when there's not, like, total frenetic activity from start to finish, I get bored with it. I want it to go, go, go. I want more, more, more.
That's what it does.
I'm on my way to the hotel now. Don't go in the hotel. Hello?
There's traffic.
Hello?
There's traffic. All right. Take the metal clip. Attach it to me. And lower me down the laundry chute.
And hold on. And that's like a Tom Cruise Mission Impossible.
Yeah, right.
So he's going all the way down.
But then you knew, could they show the little scissors that lowered him down?
Yeah, I know.
Could they show that? Did you see that one coming a mile away?
But why does he
That's going to make noise.
Why does he got to say that? All right, I'm here. Now, raise the clip back up.
A bit of a setup.
Careful now.
Yeah.
Careful now. Don't make it click. We're only going to whisper. I don't want to say anything unnecessary. Keep him on the phone as long as you can. Then, of course, I win. I'm garlic breath lady. There I go.
Now, you're stereotyping.
That's curry.
That's curry, whatever it is.
I know what you're saying.
I've enjoyed it. A delicious lunch of shrimp scampi and 16 cigarettes.
Mother, I have killed father. I have killed father.
I miss his alas.
And I am Barus.
Don't kill my boy.
Don't bring me down.
Barus, if you kill my boy, I hope that the nuclear power plants melt down.
And then the Secretary of Defense says, get out of there. Get out of there while you still can. You see all the blisters on the guy.
Yeah.
It's a little late for that, sir.
We're toast.
And then the mama's boy.
Great show.
You know, of course, they make the fat guy the mama's boy.
Well.
You know, why do they make a tough guy the mama's
boy? He's going to end up being a hero. You mark my words. The fat guy is going to end up being okay.
I think that more question than he will. Excuse me, but my mother just died. That's my mother. My mother's dead. I'm a big, fat, soft guy who loves his mommy.
Well, of course he loves his mommy.
Well, listen, you bastard. You got to give me your best thing.
Okay.
When she comes around.
William DeVane. Oh, but that CTU lady, bad news. She is evil. She's going to do something horrible. She's in cahoots.
Hey, how about the other girl? They got the cattle prod to her neck.
Yeah.
Like 2 hours ago, they are juicing her like they're going to send her to the electric chair.
Now all of a sudden, she's back. Expunged. I want it expunged, and I want a
double pay raise. Double pay raise.
Just like here.
That's two pay grades.
Done. And meanwhile, what about that?
Why do we remember every single detail?
It's dumb, but we love it.
And don't forget that CTU lady that you think is bad.
She is bad.
She's got her retarded daughter or whatever's wrong with her daughter.
I think she's just a bureaucrat bad. I don't think she's evil bad.
She's there in CTU in one of their padded cells. Her daughter is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think she's kind of a victim, a little nutso, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
Need backup.
What is the deal? There's something with the agent that got hit on the back of the head that took the lady to the office last night. He's now in the terrorists have him.
Right.
They hit him over the head, knocked him out last night. They were together, the head of CTU and him, trying to cover up something, and I'm not sure to cover their own.
I think they want to make you think that they were covering something. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know if it was all that sinister.
Plus, if they leave it vague enough, they can change it next week. That's the great thing about it.
Jack Bauer, make sure when you're taking this scissor lift back up the laundry chute that it hits the side and makes a click. So Baruz's father can point the gun at me.
Baruz Arnaz. I keep wanting to say Arnaz like Desi Arnaz.
Right. Yeah.
The Baruz Arnaz boy.
Imagine if he was like little Ricky. Play the drum. Hi, Mommy. Hi, Daddy. I play the drum.
Hey, who can blame the kid, though, right?
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Why not? He shot his mommy, and then he was going to kill him.
Right.
Yeah, boom, boom. Bye, Dad. See you later.
Well, Dad hired that guy to kill him.
Right.
And Dad's got that cool thing on his phone, that thing that you just plug into the bottom of the phone.
It's like a silencer.
So it makes it like you can scramble the calls, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
How much are those?
And also, that movie that kid was in, Baruz Almighty. He was outstanding in that movie as well.
Baruz Allah.
But who don't love that? Oh, and now do you want to take a call from how about Oscar Obvious? Because we're stupid. Let's talk to Jeremy.
Yes.
Hello, Jeremy.
My mother's a whore.
What were you going to say, Jeremy? Come on, so we all know why we were calling you Mr. Obvious.
I was going to see if you realized that the mama's boy was the FBI informant from The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Way back.
That's why I said Oscar obvious.
Really?
I mean, what do you think?
He wasn't the informant, though. He was the FBI agent.
Do you
wasn't
think?
He?
Yeah, no, he was the agent that was working on the shakedown on Big Pussy.
Yeah, Big Pussy went to him, and he was an FBI agent.
Right.
But either way, we knew.
Okay, I apologize, gentlemen.
Remember that.
Well, not only did we know that already, but you had it wrong, too. You had it mixed up.
Know it for the rest of your life. Always know.
My mother's a whore?
Okay, you're damn right she is.
He started it humble.
And she's a good whore.
Eject.
Excuse me, I can't take it off, okay? My mother just gotten under the plume of radiated.
My mother.
Therefore, I'm going to be in a bad mood, CTU director. I'm wondering what some of these guys like that. It almost sounds like he's talking like the other guy.
And he's got the nice shirt on, too, doesn't he?
Yes.
That guy. I mean, at least William Devane gets to change his shirt once in a while. Jack Bauer gets to put on the bulletproof vest.
No.
That guy's got, like, the worst shirt.
I'm wearing this from the Dan Reifert collection.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, hold on. I want to get to, God damn, I got so much to get to
the
in the
Stones,
opening
but you got
segment.
Past the Stones.
No, yeah, and Mike, Buzz, frankly, Rob, we've all, you like how I covered that?
Uh-huh. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
We've all gotten over the Stones. Yeah. I think we got over the Stones around.
Not
for
Joe.
Me, it was Exile on Main Street. That's when I got over the Stones.
Joe is not over the Stones.
No. So, the Stones.
Just love them.
Hold on, here's Jeremy. This can't be the same Jeremy. Hello, Don and Mike. Jeremy?
Hey, what's up, Don? What's up, Mike?
Oh, no, this is not Oscar obvious.
No.
Okay. What, Jeremy?
Hey, I was just...
I mean, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I was just wondering
if you guys noticed when Jack Bauer got lowered down on that little thing he was on, like the...
Yeah?
Did you notice that it was just one little zip tie that was holding him?
One little zip tie?
Yeah, like the little zip ties that you used to just fasten things with. That was the only thing that was holding him. And one of those can't...
The zip tie that you use to fax things with?
Fasten things with. You know, the nylon things that click as you tighten them.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And your point on this is?
It can't hold them. It's impossible.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, what kind of show would it be if,
dude,
as soon as they began to lower Jack down the laundry chute,
dude,
it broke away, killing him instantly?
Listen, this is the magic of the show. Nothing on the show is believable. Don't take something as small as that. I mean, if you want to get upset about why they just didn't cut the guy's thumb off.
Yeah. I was wondering about that, too.
Ah, very good.
No, go
to the head of the class.
No, you weren't.
You know, so it's a lot of effort to bring the whole body, carry the dead body up the stairs.
You didn't think of the thumb thing.
Yeah, I didn't think of the thumb thing, but...
No, okay, so you just said that you...
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
You didn't think about it, though.
Who do you think the big villain's going to be this year on 24?
The big villain?
Yep.
I think it's going to be that CTU lady.
CTU lady? Yeah,
I think he's saying that just because you said it, Mike.
That might be the case.
He can't make a thought of his own. This is Bauer. I'm telling you, we need a new caller now.
I think it's going to be the fat mama boy. I think he's going to stab everybody to death in his creep.
Wow.
You guys are great, man. I know we are.
Thank you. Right. Thank you. We had to go first.
Yes.
Goodbye, my friend.
Now, having to go. So, these kidney stones, they're the worst.
And how are you feeling now? I mean,
fine.
Is there residual pain?
No, not at all. And I've got really the lowest freaking tolerance for pain in the world. God, Sandra Dee is more a man than I am. She's a dead woman.
Yes.
She just died. Oh, and I got real, not depressed is not the word. Mad is the word that I use. When they tease a major celebrity death, and then they come back, and it's freaking Sandra Dee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, color me unimpressed.
Yeah, I know.
It's been a while.
Sandra Dee, I mean, God, even if you're as old as Buzz.
That's right.
She's a nobody, right?
Well, you know, Gidget.
Gidget? No, listen, Sally Field is Gidget.
I know. I agree. That's who I think of.
you're hurting a friend of ours, you know. I mean, you're hurting her.
Who?
Her son, Al B.
Yes, that's true.
He can carry on.
Okay. All I got is Sandra D. Cup. That's what I would like, is Sandra D. Cup, but that's not even a D-E-E.
Right.
D-E-E. And thanks for working his name into the show, Mike. I'm kidding, of course.
Yes, of course.
I'm kidding, of course. with LBVD.
Is he around anymore? Is he on the air anymore?
I think he works at...
See, that's the point.
The hip-hop 90 hot.
90-something.
Niner. Was that a Niner?
So, this kidney stones, I don't wish this on my worst enemy. Speaking of today, Buzz, between 4 and 5, I need you to turn on Channel 4.
All right.
In your room.
All right.
And they're doing this... All TV stations do this during sweeps time, all the local news stations. It's the faces behind your favorite morning DJs.
Ah, that's always fun.
Now, God knows, we've done those shows before.
Yeah, a long time ago. We learned our lesson.
Today, well, those were back when they actually would put us on television.
Today, it's Harvey. It's Harvey Joel Fisher.
Oh, hi there. How are you?
Jack Diamond. Now, it's been a long time since we've had a good Jack Diamond hate fest that I saw.
Right.
I saw the promo for this thing, so we'll just listen to it live.
Very good.
On the air today. So these stones, they're the worst. Oh, and speaking of stones.
Hey, this is Keith. Yeah, the richest.
So Don and Mike.
So do you know when they come out? Like, know the exact moment that they're...
Oh,
they're...
yes. Yes,
and
indeed.
Do you save them?
I save them. I swap them with my friends. I chew on them. I'm turning them into earrings. No, actually...
Are they like the size of a nerd? A nerd candy?
Oh, I thought when you said the size of a nerd, I mean, turned to look at Rob. Not nearly big. That big.
You know the candy, which is kind of like a little asteroid?
They're tinier than that. They look like little pieces of glass.
Do they make like a clinking sound on the porcelain, or in your case?
Sounds like this. When they come out. And in years past, the doctor had said to me, when I first had this is like the third time I've had this, get a strainer. So when you would,
yeah,
I would go number one, you'd have to, because he wanted, would want to catch them to look at them. And, and now they're just down in the sewer. They're gone. So it like screwed up my whole weekend. It screwed up my whole friggin' weekend.
Yeah, with the pain and all, I would think.
You know, the thing is, the pain is only intense when you got to pee.
Oh, right. Not leading up to it?
Well, no. Well, but the thing is, leading up to it, you're thinking about it.
Oh.
You know, you're thinking about, I'm going to drink another 2-liter bottle of Evian.
Wow.
I'm going to have another big thing of cranberry juice. Then I got to, it's like every 45 minutes, you're going to go in and someone's going to stick a hot poker up there.
Yeah.
Thank God that's over. But I was in such a fantastic mood to scream at somebody. And oh, did I get to scream yesterday. So I had passed these stones. Oh, hold on a second. Hold on. Why they didn't cut the thumb off. All right. Adam, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, I don't know if you remember, but in season one, like the second or third episode, Jack Bauer and the CIA agent with the, or the CTU agent with the glasses, they got in a shootout at some warehouse, and Jack Bauer did the finger-cutting off thing then. So I think they didn't want to recycle their same old bit.
Well, now why? Hold on.
If it works.
Yeah, but right.
That just shows it works, so why not actually handle it?
That's not like Letterman doing stupid pet tricks going, hey, this bit works, bit just doesn't work.
It was great, though, when it happened, and, you know, kind of a memorable moment, you know.
Oh, get out of here. Hello, Scott, Don and Mike show. Scott.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, that guy kind of just stole my thunder. That was episode 2 of season 1. He just cut it off too.
People are pretty riveted to this show.
These are guys from the basement of the science building. Where it's like Star Trek.
Season 2, episode 1. Thunder got chopped off.
Okay.
My mother. I'm not going to get over it. My mother's sick. My mother doesn't need the radiation plume.
Oh, God.
Help me. Help me very much. I got a kidney stone. Help me, please.
So they're gone. So the stones are gone.
But you're relieved.
But I'm still, you know, that uptight. I've not slept. Well, you don't
need this
uptight
crap. Is part of that out of the fact that you don't know whether you might have another one in there?
And you're physically tense and you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, you call the doctor. And like I said, there's nothing you can do. So... It all passes, and things are okay. And then my wife calls me and says, did you check into my car? Now, I want to tell you about this. I'm not going to mention the name of this dealership yet. Because I think we are being screwed like Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee in that video.
Wow.
We're being screwed.
You were telling me a little bit about that in the office, and, you know, the only... thing I would tell you is that when I was listening to what you had to say, it sounded to me like that was a pretty heavy bull load.
Here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Bought this car about 8 months ago for my wife.
foreign-made car, not an expensive car, mm-hmm. not an over-the-top car, just a car.
Right.
A nice car for her to drive. In the 8 months that we've owned this car, exactly 10 times, the battery has gone dead. The most recent time, she drove it on Friday night. Dan Bigfried is still in the hospital, and we wish her, you know, all good love and get well, because you know how that is when someone is that age, they're in the hospital.
So, absolutely.
So right. Frida had not driven this car for a couple of days because she was concerned. She took the other thing to go to see her mom at the hospital, and I got right. the thing with the kidney stone. So for two entire days, this car sat in the garage
right.
and didn't drive. Yesterday, she goes to start the car up, battery is dead, like Sandra D.
Uh-huh.
Now, in the past, what we've done is we've called the dealership and had them send the guy out, and the only reason we've done that is to get it on the record
mm-hmm.
so that they know that there's a problem with this car, with the battery in this car.
So this is a car that just doesn't start.
Yes. Mm. And after I jump-started the thing yesterday, my wife took it in with the story, then the sales guy calls her up, and I'm going to quote the sales guy exactly. He says to her, well, we looked at the car, and we can't find anything wrong with it. Mm. Now, keep in mind, this is the 10th time in 8 months that we've had this problem.
Yeah.
They've replaced the battery already twice, because we've complained about it before. The guy says, here's the deal. Sometimes these cars are just like that. Mm. He said, it happens sometimes in my own car. And then he said to her, I think what you probably will have to do is start the car every day to make sure that it runs.
Uh-huh.
And she said, wait a minute, hold on. So then
if you ever want to leave town,
right? Well,
and maybe you're going somewhere for 3 or 4 days.
That's what my wife said, you know, because she works now. She said,
make sure you make your return reservation to come back and go to the parking lot of the airport and start the car.
She said, you know, I've worked now. I just went out of town recently on a conference. If I go again, you're saying don't bring the car? And the sales guy says, yeah, that's right. So she calls me up. She is, and you'll be happy to know this, Rob. I guess, Carrie, well, she was having a pedicure. Calls me up, and she says,
how are you?
She says, you are not going to believe what this ass at the car place said to me. So, man, I've had all weekend with this kidney stone thing just inside of me, and I'm ready. I'm loaded for bear. So I call up, and I go, give me that sales manager. You know, and he picks up the phone. Yeah, hello, this is Richard. He's one of these guys, a slicky boy. So I lay the whole thing on him,
mm-hmm.
and he says, I will have my service manager call you back within 10 minutes.
Good answer, all right, very good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. cool. Sit around and wait for 45 minutes.
Whoa.
Call the guy back. He picks up the phone on the direct line that he gave me,
mm-hmm.
and it's like this. Yeah, hey, it's Richard. He said, hey, Richard, it's me. Remember you said you were going to call me back? Yeah, here's the deal. I talked to the service guy, the service manager, and
he didn't really feel the need to call you. No way.
No, here's what the guy says to me. He's going to talk to the salesman, and we're just going to verify exactly what was said to your wife, and then we'll call back. And I said to the guy, well, hold on. My wife ain't lying about what this guy said to her.
No.
Sounds to me like the car is a lemon. So then he said, we'll call back.
Mm.
So now Frida's back home by now from her pedicure. They call. She very calmly tells them the exact same story.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what these bastards have to say today. And I'm not looking for a free car from these guys.
No.
All I'm looking for them is to say, hey, listen, okay, there's something wrong with this car. We're going to try to fix it.
Right.
Here's what they're hanging their hat on now. Originally, their thought yesterday, when they called yesterday, was they said, well, we've got the car here at the dealership. It's Monday. We're going to just let it sit until Friday. Then Friday, we're going to go try to start the car,
mm-hmm.
right? Because my wife and
I... That was their way of,
yes,
of but, dealing with it?
Right, because my wife and I are so stupid, and we're lying about this, obviously. We have to be making this up.
Plus, it buys a little time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. Now, meanwhile, I'm saying to my wife, you know...
So they're not going to run it through diagnostics to find out what the problem is. They're going to let it sit there and then try to start it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, this is... Ooh.
After 3 days.
Technology.
After 3 days. Excuse me, I got the dry throat. I got right. the dish thing that everybody else is. How do you like that? We all got that going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, we've all got it in different spots.
So the guy says 3 days. It's ridiculous. They could start the car every day if they wanted to. Or what's the odds? Just that after 3 days, this intermittent problem wouldn't happen. The thing is, these guys weren't giving you what you want from someone who sells you a car.
Right.
So, my wife called me right before the show today. Mike was in the office, heard this, and said, they called, and they have figured out what the problem is.
Excellent.
And this is why they suck. And they're an awful dealership.
Oh.
And they better just make this right, or I'm going to out you guys. I really am. You bastards. They call up and say, well, you had some aftermarket work done to the car. Here's what we had done. At satellite radio, I know it's a dirty word to say at infinity, but too bad. We had XM put in the car.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It's like as big as an FM converter, for those of you back in the day who remember.
Yeah,
it's a very tiny thing that you plug in. We went to Circuit City. We had it done. Now the guy at the car place says, what we think is that the XM receiver is draining the battery.
Oh, so they find the one thing you had done aftermarket.
Uh-huh. And the guy says, and of course, we don't deal in aftermarket now.
You know, we will get mechanics that will be able to tell you right away, everybody listens to this show, exactly whether that's legit or not, whether that's even within the realm of possibility.
Then
when you said that to me, it sounded to me like, you mean you're not able to start your car because the radio you had installed is
right.
Draining the battery?
I don't get that.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I said that to Frida. You mean to tell me when the radio is off?
Yeah,
car is off.
Yeah, you turn the car off.
Now, I don't give a crap about aftermarket and everything else. This is about being a loyal customer to someone who's bought a car.
I'm staying on, Dave.
Here's what I would appreciate that they would have said. The problem might be with this XM thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let us take a look at it.
Yeah, we're going to take a look at the wiring and,
figure it out. But right. They go, no, we can't do it because it's aftermarket. But they did mention to this, to my wife, that in this year's model of the car, XM is available.
Oh, yes. Oh, so there. So let's, because we're totally not taking care of your problem, let's get on to selling the new car.
So what they could do, was just swap out the entire radio, but then we'd have to pay for a brand new radio.
Oh, and then, of course, there'd be no problem with the existing problem.
Right.
Yeah, see, the problem would be gone if we would just have them take that out.
And buy it
through
them.
And my wife was saying, she doesn't want to
go through. We'll put the radio in that doesn't suck the battery juice out.
Because she knows what's going to happen. She's going to take it to Circuit City, and they're going to say, listen, we installed this thing perfectly. There's no freaking reason that a simple satellite radio addition is going to drain the battery.
It does go off when you turn off the car, right?
Yes, it does.
Then it shouldn't drain the battery.
Well, listen, what we're going to do is we're going to take that radio out that's draining all the battery juice and also causing you to get flat tires, and we're going to put in the one that we put in currently, the one that actually gives you better gain.
Hi, hello, baby, is this you?
Yes, and I have even more information.
Well, good.
All right.
So I called them, and I said, just disconnect the XM so that I can know that that's what's causing the problem.
Ah, this was the discussion we had literally 5 minutes before Mike and me came in to do the show today.
And?
Then I left that message for him. Just thank you, disconnect it, and then I'll be able to see that it's, you know, that truly is the problem. And then they just called me back and they said, we can't disconnect it without disconnecting your radio. I said, well, why? Well, we don't know how they've hooked it up, so we can't disconnect.
This is a car dealership.
I said,
okay.
It's nothing exotic. I had it done at Circuit City. This gets done all the time.
And yeah, you look in the back of the radio and you see the way they hooked it up. They put two connections together.
This is a car dealership where they now sell this type of radio. I mean,
I'm really looking forward to hearing what a mechanic would say about the prospects of whether a radio installed in your car kill the battery.
There are mechanics who say do a voltage drop test, take it to somebody. Listen, the point is, this place, do you believe this? That they sold us this car.
I mean, what percentage of your car is the radio that you have put in aftermarket? Isn't 99.9% of the car you bought their responsibility?
So they will not take the radio, they will not disconnect it to find out if that's the problem?
No.
Wow. Want me to call Pat?
Pat Goss, I don't want to call Pat Goss.
It's always fun.
He'd probably give you an answer.
Your answer.
Listen, even if
he's probably saying, if you're having this problem, what you should say to the service manager.
But here's the thing. Even if that's the case, even if somehow this creepy satellite radio is making this happen to the battery, wouldn't the guys at the dealership where they sell the car, where you bring it for service,
right,
wouldn't they know how to fix it? And if they wanted to keep you as a customer, wouldn't they just say, you know, here's, let's see if we can meet you halfway.
Right.
What they're saying to us every step of the way is,
no one can solve the problem of the incredible battery-sucking XM radio.
They're giving us the finger every step of the way. And the thing that's a pisser about it is, all of these facts notwithstanding,
mm-hmm,
the fact that the sales guy says to my wife, well, maybe you should just start the car every day. Now, he's...
No, that was the service guy.
He's right, the right, director of first
impression.
Oh,
the service guy said that?
The service. My service manager. You know how you get your own service guy?
Yeah.
My service guy said that to me, and he said, well, I've had a car like that, that if you didn't drive it for a couple of days, it would just, you know, go dead.
That's so who would... Who on God's green earth would buy a car where you go in and they say, now, here's the deal. This is a really great car. You got to make sure you start it every day.
Does that have the AAA Energizer battery?
God forbid you get the flu or something and you don't drive for a couple of days.
All right, darling. Well,
wow.
I don't know. I'm pissed. I mean,
well, yeah, but there's I've got to drive it every day.
Well, then there should be no problem.
Yeah.
I mean, you drive it every day. You take it into a grocery store and come out. What do you got, about a 50-50 chance the car's going to start?
Exactly.
That's a sucky way. That's a sucky way for them to act. That stinks. And that guy's a jerk. That sales manager's a jerk. That ass I spoke to yesterday, who I could smell his cologne through the telephone.
Normally, the only way to have this radio work properly is to hook it up to the Hoover Dam, Mr. Geronimo. That's the only way we get the proper amount of voltage without...
Kiss my ass. You can't unplug an XM radio?
I have a solution. We can take out the aftermarket radio you just paid for and put our brand new one in, and there should be no problem at all.
Well, darling, I leave it up to you now, being as I'm done with it. I yelled at the guy already. I've screamed about it on the radio. Shall I say their name and make it even more uncomfortable for you?
I don't know if that would do a whole lot of good.
Now, if you say their name, that might be a heavy battle loss for the show.
There's not every
a,
day.
There's not a real name. You know, the names are irrelevant.
When we go on vacation in spring, we just have to take my car with us. We just have to drive it every day.
Mike?
Yes?
Let me just say this to you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use half-baked logic.
I won't. No problem at all, Don.
And when I go to McDonald's, you know what I like?
Mm-hmm.
Ham, burger,
with lettuce.
Really? Ham, burger,
with lettuce.
Uh-huh. That's right. Now we're playing a new game.
I'm sure this is going to be really effective.
Okay, it's HBL Audi. HBL Audi. They suck. Your people skills suck. Even if I'm wrong and my wife is wrong, your people skills blow. They make me want to drive the car into your dealership through the front window if it started up. There you go.
That won't be uncomfortable when I pick up my car this afternoon.
That should be fine.
Well, maybe they'll give you a better answer than that half-assed, we don't think we can unplug it for you, and don't drive the car.
I'm sure they have a good service department, but it's just way too mystical.
Apparently.
Way too complex.
Yeah. I like the mysticism.
All right, well, they can pound sand. I feel great now.
All right.
I feel great.
We all do.
All right, darling.
Oh, my cell phone's ringing now. Oh, it's my... Okay, all right. Bye, sweetie.
There you go.
Okay.
Is there a problem here?
Hello, Patrick. Don and Mike's... Oh, God, we got a break.
Wow.
Look at that. 3:47.
My God.
Patrick.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Let me understand this. The mechanic finally told you that it was the radio that was installed.
Yes.
And now they're turning around and saying, but we don't know how to disconnect the radio that we figured out was installed draining the power.
Yes, because they don't work on aftermarket stuff.
But how? I don't understand how they can tell you the problem, but they don't know
it's how to... It's HBL, sir. It's the magic of buying an Audi at HBL. I should have known better. Aren't those the cars that like explode like the Pintos?
No.
Wasn't there a thing really?
I don't think.
Oh, no, I know what it was, that they would go into reverse.
Right.
I saw that on 60 Minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They explode after you install a non-manufactured radio.
That's usually right, the cause.
You.
The
thank
good
you,
news
friend.
is it won't be awkward for Frida, because I just did the math.
Yeah.
And with our new delay, She should be home by the time this reaches the dealer.
we do got a break. I'm sorry about the... I'm not sorry about anything.
Don't be sorry about anything.
Kiss my ass!
Yeah. Jerks. Get angry once in a while. It's healthy.
Clean my bathroom. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to HBO, not to my wife. You want to make this right with me? Go clean up my bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You should see those stains. It's like crime scene stuff.
Right.
My bathroom with my kidney stones.
Sorry, sir. These are aftermarket stones.
It's a tough weekend. Yeah, it was a great
weekend. You
didn't
need that aggravation.
Great weekend, Mike. If only I could have seen your brilliance.
I know. If only you could have come to the Gallagher show with me.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The part of my life. He doesn't give a damn. I wouldn't answer the marijuana question.
Uh-huh.
You know why? Because I don't want some little kid doing what I tried.
Yeah, and it never stops. Question.
But you got to understand, I want to be president. I want to lead. I want to set. Do you want your little kid to say, hey, Daddy, President Bush tried marijuana. I think I will. And the cocaine thing? Let me tell you my strategy on that. Rather than just saying no,
yeah.
I think it's time for somebody to just draw the line and look people in the eye and say, you know, I am not going to participate in ugly rumors about me and blame my opponents and hold the line and stand up for a system that will not allow this kind of crap to go on.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well said.
Very good.
Thank you.
This you should not do. You should not call them Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
No. You should. And you should go to our website, www.donandmikewebsite.com. All kinds of stuff there, including, now, do you want the picture of Rob's hair today, or do you want it later in the week?
It is a great thing today. It could work today easily.
Really, buddy. You want the picture there
today?
But I mean,
just a straight-on face shot of Rob today.
As a gift to you, I use no product today. I think
Rob is looking particularly castaway-ish today.
So, there you have it.
Well, Beth Ann, if you wouldn't mind. Oh, and you know, we got to ask Beth Ann about her fantastic appearance over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
At the Singular Store.
We've not yet talked about NASCAR and my brother and, my deal with him this weekend. But Mike?
Yes.
Mike,
mm-hmm.
You had the great weekend.
Oh, I did.
You went to see Gallagher.
I went to see Gallagher on Saturday night. Lucky dog.
How were the ticket sales?
It was sold out at the State Theater on
You're
Saturday
welcome,
night.
You're welcome, Gallagher.
Yeah, thank you, Gallagher. And it was... we got there at about 7:20, and, I know there have been these rumors circulating, Don, that I happen to have just a few years... on my girlfriend, and you might find it
22, isn't it?
You might find it difficult to.
Or is it 23 or what is it?
Yeah, when it gets past 15, who cares?
It's
really, not
important. It's over 20.
Well, it was a significant enough age difference that there was no knowledge of this Gallagher.
Did she think it was one of the guys from Oasis?
She did not know the comedian, and I was kind of trying to. And then I think there was a glimmer of recognition when we got in there, because as soon as we walked into the lobby, Gallagher was sitting at a table, I think signing autographs and having pictures taken, which to me is, it's
big
always,
time.
It's always interesting when
it's
you
big
get,
time, Mike.
Well, I think he does this wherever he goes. For me, I like the big entrance. You know,
he's a big-time performer. Why would you want to ruin the entrance? But when you could be standing at a card table,
mm-hmm.
signing your crap before the show.
Well, here's the deal. You know, as soon as you go into a Gallagher show, that he had talked to us about the fact that he's going to do a 2.5-hour show.
It's just funny to hear you say, mm-hmm. You know, whenever you go to a Gallagher show.
When you go to a Gallagher show.
Yes, we know.
Walk in, and I was walking into that show, and I chose to go to the show because I could easily say because I had nothing else to do, but that's true, too. But I wanted to see what this angry man of comedy has to do with his show, because he talked about...
And you want to impress your chick.
Yeah, of course. Yes, sir. Hey, you want to go in there and see, hey, I'm a big shot. See that table that says reserve? You and me.
Yeah.
Watch this. And hey, they took us right to it. That's right. Sat down, ate dinner. Full price. So they take us in, and we sit down. We see Gallagher. I walk briskly by. I didn't think he was busy. He wasn't.
He wouldn't remember us anyway.
He wouldn't remember anyway. So I figured, all right, he's going to sign autographs and maybe go around back. And I've been at that State Theater before, and you can just, you know, go out the front and go
right and back. Come right back in the back
and
way,
then
yeah.
Make the entrance. But no, that's not how it worked. You realize right away that there are, that first of all, he's got fans that, his core fans that still show up. And these are the people that I don't think the stand-up comedy is necessarily important to.
No.
I think these are the people who are just like, when is he gonna smash stuff?
Did anyone ever tell you you're a moron?
But that's all well and good, because I'm there to see what the show's all about. I've never been to a Gallagher show before.
Sounded like fun.
You're an idiot.
And after he gets done, and it starts a little earlier than most comedy shows. It starts at 7:30, which I thought was interesting.
Okay.
It's a little, I think it's maybe skewing towards
the Denny's crowd.
Older, the country music-ish crowd, kind of. It's an older crowd.
I think it's towards.
But there are people of all ages there.
Yeah, and you're the best representation of that.
Yes,
many generations between you
and my
and your child child girlfriend. I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ.
Sorry about that, Mike.
At any point,
give me the nitro.
At any point at the box office, did they use the phrase "early bird special"?
No.
Was the handicap space taken early?
No, they told me to go in. I did get free tickets.
Good.
Oh,
good.
That's nice.
So I mean, that was nice.
Yeah.
I was
you're very already privileged. $7 ahead.
But
were you wearing your tam o' shanter?
It was no. I was not. I walked in, said, go to the, you'll be on a list. I was on a list, you know, and it was just like when we go anywhere else, you know, only free tickets and Carla gets carded. And so, you know, we go in. I'm not lying. Why would I lie about something that's really happened?
You wouldn't lie about that.
No, I wouldn't. No. There's no need to, believe me. So we sit down, and I guess he starts promptly at 7:30. We got there at 7:20, sat down, got a chance to order a drink and order our dinner. And he doesn't go around the back. He gets done, I guess, doing his pictures.
His merchandising.
His merchandising, and walks in and just walks through. But, you know, here's the deal. If you're at a Gallagher show, you know it's Gallagher. He's got the big mop of hair. Everybody,
right.
And it starts out with one of these little things where it's just like, hey, hey, hey. And then it slowly
builds. People start to realize.
They realize.
Yes.
And then the first thing you notice on the stage is how much stuff he's got up there. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, well, he's going to smash this stuff. It's that's what, you know, that's all these tables just,
right.
Just loaded with stuff. Well, no, Gallagher, and this, I loved this, mm-hmm. because I was showing my teeth just like a little moron that I am, and I'm sitting there. He takes a tennis racket and walks up on stage. This is the pantomime section of the Gallagher show. And just gets big handfuls of candy. And starts hitting him with a tennis racket out into the crowd.
You like that?
I love that.
You're an idiot.
Yes, thank you.
I said, candy.
What a great way. I mean, really, who doesn't like candy?
You're an idiot.
And what a great way to warm up the audience.
Yeah, fun.
You know, you take candy and you start hitting the candy out there.
Yes, you're an idiot.
And he's doing this.
Mike O'Mara, you're grounded.
Thank you, Alan Thicke. And then he takes, I think, water balloons, and he starts throwing stuff at the audience.
Right.
Before,
right.
This is the pre-show. This is before the Gallagher show, because he then goes backstage.
Ah, the transformation begins?
And I'm not sure. I think in the pre-show, he identified one guy that's having a birthday. And he's hitting candy, and he goes over to his table, and he takes a full-size birthday cake and says, are you having a birthday? And he holds up the tennis racket, and he places the birthday cake. And I'm like, you know, even though it's Gallagher and he smashes things, he's not going to take a full birthday cake. And he proceeds to take the tennis racket, and the guy that's down in the middle of the audience celebrating the birthday, he throws the entire cake. I mean, this caused the little staff at the State Theater a little consternation, because there was much scrubbing after this was done, and I don't think anybody really enjoyed that cake. But he goes backstage.
What about the guy that got the cake? Was he cool with it, the guy that had the cake thrown at him?
I was too far away, because they were like a few rows over. They were in the middle, and I was off to the left side.
VIP area, I'm sure.
Well, it was a good, you know, it was a good location.
Were your tickets free?
Yes.
VIP.
Well, that's good. And it was reserved, and I was far enough away from the line of fire.
Oh, and Carla was carded.
Yes. And I was far enough outside. We were far enough outside where we didn't get a lot of the fallout, you know, for when things started.
No, like the extra junk when he
smashes
stuff.
And then he did what Jim Stafford said. He gets up.
He entertained.
And did about 2 hours, it would seem to me, about 2 hours of his shtick.
Wow.
Which is commenting, he has a real, he has an enormous problem with the kids today that show the underwear above the jeans. You know, that have the pants hanging down and the underwear. Because he went back to that. If he went to that once, he went to that maybe five times.
So you're saying the act had some flaws.
I'm saying it was wonderful. I'm saying I was
you're an idiot.
I was highly entertained. And then just about the time when he does the first smash trick, and he's very scientific about how he puts things together. He said he tests these theories at every show that he goes to. He combines different things like the Jell-O with the fruit in it, and the mustard and honey.
You're an idiot.
And I believe that it was a highly entertaining show.
Here's why I'm playing this thing.
You're an idiot.
Why? Yeah. Because Mike's an idiot, and I don't mean to say that I'm not. Right. I am. I liked having him.
Was I entertained? I was entertained.
I liked having him on the show. I thought he was funnier.
He was funny too. He's not, you know.
Then he would have been, but I would never.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't me. I wouldn't go to see him smash stuff.
Well, I mean, he only smashes stuff right when he started to smash. I was kind of thinking, like so many people around here, it's exit time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you see him smash one thing and you realize he's going to be smashing stuff for a half an hour.
Yeah.
And that there is the core group of his audience that's down in the front three rows that are there because they're wearing their Gallagher
raincoats.
That's why I wouldn't go.
And they want him to smash stuff.
The retard tarps.
At that point, well.
The rarps.
There were some interesting people there to say the
rarps. Were there like some real retarded people?
No, I don't think they
borderline.
Freaky. There were one or two borderline people that were there, but it was
special seats.
But here's the deal: they're the people that when he throws things out to the audience, what I hate are the people that throw things back. You know, because I think he's giving to the audience,
right.
And they're throwing stuff back. But this one, he was giving out the candy. People would throw the candy back up, and he hit some baby carrots into the and then. I think at one point he forgot that he had gotten a lot of peeps, and he hit peeps, packages of peeps, that would separate from the cardboard, and then one, like, row of peeps would
land in somebody's... You mean, of course, the candy Easter treat, not what I call you guys.
Yeah, and
peeps.
He hit cupcakes out into the audience, too, which was...
Sounds like great fun.
Oh, it was... I mean, I love the free stuff. I actually ate a Gallagher Easter egg that it traveled far enough, and he made a couple into the balcony, and the balcony was not closed; it was open, and he did that, and so the Gallagher act was. I know he smashed stuff at the end. He basically hit candy out into the audience with a tennis racket, and then talked about how he didn't like kids with their underwear.
How many retards do you think? Not the people who put on the slickers, mm-hmm. but like really how many were there?
I didn't see any.
Could you imagine if that was like your make-a-wish thing?
Mm-hmm.
If you were a kid and you were dying, and you could, and those kids get whatever they want because,
you were going to go to one last show, highly entertaining.
Gallagher.
Plenty of laughs. He is an interesting dude.
Little Johnny, we all know that you're going to be going to heaven soon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got some things.
He wants people to think.
Do you know who Michael Jordan is? Michael Jordan will play basketball with you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Britney Spears?
Right.
She will sing a song for you.
Mm-hmm.
Or Gallagher will smash things.
Gallagher,
please. Yeah. I found the will to live.
Sledge-o-matic is the name of the original bit that that he did, and he has this
classic
standard
bit.
Line, and then he takes it, and he's, you know, he's an incredible shot. I mean, he is dead on with that sledgehammer. I don't mind telling you.
Yeah.
He nails all that stuff.
Years of practice.
Different pies, and I believe Pepto-Bismol on Spam.
How'd Carla like it?
It was. Is that the sledgehammeric thing that I said?
Yeah.
It was apparently some mention of it.
Click.
And this is back now on some commercial on TV.
I know, it's on all the time now.
It's on.
Anyway, what about Carla? She hated it, right?
It was fine.
She didn't like it.
She certainly didn't. She, to say, she probably didn't enjoy it as much as I did.
Uh-huh.
Did it cause your first fight?
No. No, that was actually
it's never happened, has it?
We just we fought like cats and dogs. I believe her words were, "How dare you take me to that offensive show?" No, it was.
And as they were leaving, someone said, "Look at that man yelling at his daughter."
Stop that! It's granddaughter. But I, it really.
Hey, it was Saturday night. You know, we didn't feel like going out and going
you
out
had
late.
Free tickets.
We had free tickets. Do I had to do a little cajoling. I had to do a little talking into.
I bet.
I mean, a serious amount of talking into.
But she was thanking you at the end of the evening.
It was, no, it was not thanking
I think
me.
She didn't thank him at the end of the evening. You know what I'm saying?
It was really, it was fine.
Good.
It was just fine. It was just fine. Solid.
She thought it sucked. He just won't say it.
Carla's not like a big laugh out loud person. Uh-huh. Anyway, she kind of sits there and takes it all in. And, you know, it's
she thought it sucked.
No, not really. Well, maybe.
No, of course she did.
I like the fact, you know, really, if we're ever to perform on stage again, I think we should take a tennis racket and hit candy out of the audience first.
People
love
the stuff. Yeah. How did Carla feel about that part of the show?
She liked that.
She liked that.
Everybody liked that.
Everybody likes candy.
Everybody likes candy. Buzz, you're absolutely right.
Thank Chris.
Who doesn't like candy?
It's universal.
I mean, you're hitting Hershey's Kisses out of the audience.
Oh, you're an idiot.
They come your way. You're going to reach up and try to grab one. Yeah. And then munch it down right on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And then at the end, yes?
You have a supporter.
All right.
Don't knock it, Don.
Okay.
That's what it says here. Kevin.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, if you like, you know, if you don't want to hear nothing but four-letter words, he makes you think. And
you're a good spokesman for all the... Listen, I'm a Gallagher fan.
I'm a Gallagher fan, too. I'm a Gallagher fan. I would go to see that show.
I'd go see that show anytime he came.
I would not go see it. But anyway, sir, you were saying so well, so eloquently.
But
I have to point out to you, sir,
about four-letter words.
Were you at the Gallagher show?
No, not this one.
Well, I believe four-letter words are included in his repertoire.
Well,
he was saying that.
Yeah, he knows that. They're not just. That's what I'm saying. There's so many comedians up there nowadays. Listen to on HBO and
like Chris Rock, that awful Chris Rock.
No,
it's only Gallagher.
A little different than the rest of them. Oh, well, you know.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
I'm there, I think Buzz is too. Don, you need to try it before you knock it.
Yeah, as always, I'm the only one. Buzz, of course, big support. Listen, idiot.
You think. You know what?
I don't have to go see. I've seen the videotapes.
I think you may have, if you'd gone to the show, you might have left angry. But it's just a theory I have. But, it was fine.
I think
kidney stones.
It was just
kidney stones, I bet.
That's what we'll hit in the audience. Don, I just found it. This caller, in
you're
his infinite wisdom,
mm-hmm.
has given it to me.
You're a winner.
It beats kidney stones.
It does.
Thanks, guys.
Just barely, though. By an eyelid.
You know.
By a nun's pube. That's how close
it is. Here's the deal.
Is.
I did laugh at his shtick.
Yes.
I laughed at his stand-up portion. There were some things that he said that were very, very funny. Overall, was the act entertaining? I've been to comedy shows where I wasn't entertained at all. Mm-hmm. That one had lots of moments that were... And, you know, you do wait for his little bit because you do want to see him. You know, you go in and the whole theater, half the theater, is tarps, is plastic tarps.
Sure, right.
And you know he's going to do that at the end. And you're kind of craving it. But once you see that first one, I wanted to beat the traffic.
You know what? Next time, mm-hmm. you compromise, you do something for Carla. You go see Hillary Duff or something. Something that she likes.
I know
you took your daughters to see Hillary Duff.
Go see Animaniacs. Is that what it is? Yeah. Make it skew it younger.
You know. If you want.
Go to a Barney show.
If you,
right?
Okay. If you yeah. want. Well, thank you for the report.
I enjoyed it. I did not leave going, hey, this is the worst show I've ever seen.
Well,
I enjoyed myself. I truly did.
That's saying a lot.
I did. I really did.
You know,
I laughed.
Seems like you're trying to talk yourself into it. It's okay. It's okay.
I'm not.
It's okay,
I'm not.
Mike.
I'm
it's okay.
Not.
You went to a Gallagher show.
It was
you
entertaining.
You embarrassed yourself in front of your hot girlfriend. You'll get over it.
She had a fine time.
That means she had a sucky time.
No, they served a nice dinner at the State Theater. They did.
Everyone likes Dixie.
They served a nice steak.
That reminds me of the
and
Dixie
the owner
Stampede.
Came, the owner came over.
That's like the Dixie Stampede in Myrtle Beach. I know it's not the same, but that's what I think.
No.
That place that we both went to in Myrtle Beach, where you sit in this arena.
Not even remotely.
The Dolly Parton Dixie Stampede.
Right.
And you eat food with your hands, and they reenact the Civil War in front of you.
I don't think they serve booze at Dixie Stampede. State Theater served booze.
Ah.
So it was okay. It was okay.
Okay.
It was a good... It was a Saturday night.
It's gone from fine to okay to a Saturday night.
It was good.
It was entertaining.
It was... I would bring somebody if they're... I would bring somebody to the Gallagher show.
Somebody older?
Who, your mom? I'm just trying to think of anybody older.
It was... I laughed. I did. I did.
And if you brought your... If you brought your mom,
uh-huh.
You could talk like that guy on 24.
Hey, Mom, let's go see the Gallagher show. Shall we go see the Gallagher show before the radioactive plume engulfs your house in radiation? Thanks, Mama. I'm feeling mighty depressed. We've got to evacuate my mother. This is great. Listen, before the radioactive plume gets to your house, let's check out the Gallagher show. Thanks, Mom.
Okay.
All right. But Carlos, stay at home.
We will be right back.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
We got all these so-called fans that come out here and say they're Cub fans that are supposed to be behind you, ripping every thing you do. I'll tell you one thing. I hope we get hotter than just to stuff it up them 3,000 people that show up every day. Because if they're the real Chicago fans, they can kiss my ass right downtown and print it. They're really, really behind you around here. My supposed to do, go out there and let my players get destroyed every day and be quiet about it for the pickle dime people to show up? The mother don't even work. That's why they're out at the game. They ought to go out and get a job and find out what it's like to go out there and a living. 85% of the world's working. The other 15 come out here. The playground for the rip them like the players. Got guys in there and them people boo. And that's the Cubs? My they talk about the great support that the players get around here. I haven't seen it this year.
The Don and Mike Show.
Winston.
It's my guy.
Winston. And have some fun.
Everybody loves Donna Mike.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Take this square world and blast off for Kicksville.
Okay.
A couple of biggins, Don and Mike.
All right, here we go. As a former Cubs fan...
You haven't come back to baseball yet?
No. Right. And a former Chicagoan.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the Cubs back in the day. Mike, as you know, loves baseball.
Right.
I love football. Mike really loves baseball.
You used to... We've had the Cubs-Red Sox rivalry for years. You used to... there were days where you would actually come to... work wearing all the Cubs paraphernalia.
Yeah, like I do with the Packers.
Like the uniform.
Like the uniform. Anyway... another great Chicago memory is when Mike and I went on a road trip a while ago, 10, 15 years ago, and we spent some time at Harry Carey's restaurant.
I had a great time. We went there for dinner. Went to Wrigley and everything.
Okay, we'll set all this up by telling you that the Cubs are now the most jinxed team in history.
Yeah, I believe it.
Okay, because now the Red Sox won. So you know what the Cubs fans did? They have the guy, Bartman, who caught the ball.
Right.
That kid that screwed the game up.
Was he a man or a boy? He looked like a boy.
He was a boy. He might be a man. You know, I think he was
like
man,
21 or
like a man boy, I think. Yeah. He was like half between.
Yeah, like 21.
Anyway, the guy interfered with the ball, caught a ball, screwed up the game for the Cubs. What they did was they took the ball and they blew it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of a sacrificial offering to the gods.
Break the curse, sort of, yeah.
And now what they've done at Harry Carey's restaurant in Chicago is taken the ball that was blown up real good,
mm-hmm.
and they're now putting it in to the sauce that you eat with the pasta and with the spaghetti. And joining us from Harry Carey's restaurant.
Great restaurant. We had a great meal there.
Here's the guy that bought the ball and is the creator of the foul ball sauce. Hello, Grant. Grant?
Hey. Grant, you're there.
I'm here. Right,
Grant DePorter. Did we get most of that correct?
Especially like the part where you were here 15 years ago and loved the food.
Well, we did. I remember, no, remember did. That calamari. Yeah. It was great.
We did.
It?
I mean, it beat the hell out of Ditka's restaurant.
We really went to two places when we were there. We went to dinner one night at Ditka's, one night at Harry Carey's, and had a great time at Harry Carey's.
But more importantly, this whole superstition thing with the Cubs and the ball. If I'm going to come into Harry Carey's tonight for dinner, am I going to be able to eat part of the ball?
Well, in the sauce, yeah. Yesterday we put a team of professional like experts together. We had one of the top chemists from Northwestern University. I had a microbiologist.
Come on.
Of course. I had the head of nutrition from Thoric Hospital. I even had a scientist that broke the ball down to the genetic code. He got the DNA of the ball because he specializes in busting curses, and he almost had to track it down like a virus to see how to kill it. So he gave me the DNA of the ball, and he's going to do a follow-up on Friday to make sure the curse is gone.
So now, how many?
So you saved the remnants of the ball after you blew it up, huh?
Well, yeah, we kind of almost like as a symbol, like if you want to mess, if any curse wants to mess with the Cubs in the future, this is what would happen to you.
You get blown up, and then
I bought the ball. We bought it with the intention of always destroying it, really to keep it out of the hands of Florida Marlins fans.
But now, have you thought about this without getting terribly graphic? Let me explain to you how the body works. You ingest something, then your stomach acids break it down.
Right. Try to.
And then it comes out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my
what's your point with that? That would be somehow, if someone ingested the baseball.
Well, the thing is, if you eat the baseball, and then it comes out.
Yes.
Naturally.
I understand how that works.
Okay, I'm glad you do.
Yeah.
I'll be lecturing on that later.
All right, very good.
But here's the question.
Yeah.
If you're a real Cubs fan.
Right. No, you don't, because you're
eat a part of the ball that you're blowing up that screwed up the game for the Cubs.
How would you handle the curse then? What would you do? Would you save the remnants
of
the ball?
Well, first off, with the turks,
man. And, you know, we used to have those.
Mike, okay, here's a better.
Yes.
Before the Red Sox won,
right.
Would you have gone to a restaurant in Boston and eaten part of a ball that a kid had touched and screwed it up for the Red Sox?
Yes.
You would have.
Yeah, I mean, if I was there and it was available, I would probably eat the sauce. Just as, yeah, this is all about, Don, let me explain what I think this is all about. This is all about magic. This is all about magic. This is not about anything based in reality.
It's about a five-letter word that starts with M.
Well, we ended up getting the 20,000 like letters from fans with their ideas, and a lot of it too was cathartic, you know, because
yes.
No one could believe that we didn't actually get to the World Series in 2003.
I remember the pain of that moment. I mean, did that guy end up leaving town or
Bart
what?
Man.
No, he's still here. He just doesn't really talk to the media.
Good. This is like the greatest villain, this
and
guy that interfered with the baseball.
How many different bowls, right? I don't know what equation you use. How much are you going to be...
How many servings?
Yes, are you going to get out of the ball?
What's the yield?
Well, we've already sold 200, but part of the thing is we've been getting calls from all over the country where people want us to ship the sauce to them, but we're not set up to do that.
Do you get a certificate of authenticity when somebody eats the pasta with the sauce on it?
Well, it's so much, I mean, the TV cameras have pretty much been living in the kitchen, so I think that it's, in fact, like a bowl of pasta is made, and next thing you know, the camera follows it all the way into the bar and watches the guy eat every last bite.
And then I'm telling you that the camera should follow the guy and follow the ball on the rest of his journey.
The sauce tastes different than the other marinara. It's got like a smoky kick to it.
I bet it does.
What's the price on this? If I wanted
to come
to Harry Carey's and have the pasta with the ball,
it's the same price as our other spaghetti marinara. It's $11.95.
But all the money
that we take from that, though, is going to Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation.
So you're raising a little money for a good cause.
All right.
How long do you think the sauce is going to hold out?
Well, we always planned Monday through Thursday, because on Thursday it's our 7th annual Worldwide Toast to Harry, which we've done every year.
That's right. Raise your glasses to the greatest fourth cast through the history of
Dutchie. Don't forget
that was
Dutchie.
A good imitation.
Thank you. I used to do that on a regular basis when he was alive.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we have places in all 50 states and 76 countries raising a glass. Like, you can check out toast.citysearch.com. I know there's a place right in your neighborhood over there.
Have you thought about a medical camera that could somehow follow the journey of the ball?
When the blowing it up didn't work, the fans asked to try one more time. So we incorporated the second, third, and fourth most popular ideas.
Grant,
first one was to drown it in Budweiser because Harry's a Bud man. That's what he would have done.
Tell us you sterilized the ball before putting it in the sauce.
Well, we did. Do you want to know?
Yeah, sure.
That's all I needed to hear.
Sure, you did.
Got laser beams in it through Harry's glasses, and then we. We did. Everyone said with the intense case. Yeah, he was like 22,000. I mean, he was almost practically blind. So his lenses were so thick that the laser beams wiped out the curse.
Harry.
Grant the Porter, he's the owner of the ball, and he's the guy behind this, behind the pasta sauce.
Good luck to the Cubs. I hope it works for you guys.
Well, thank you.
All right, dude. Thank you.
Thanks, Grant.
See you later.
Go Cubs. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Idiots.
But if they ever made it to a World Series, I would hope you'd get into it again a little bit, right?
The Cubs?
Yeah.
No. However, if someone said...
Holy mackerel. You'd sing again.
No doubt about it.
The Cubs are on their way.
Cubs go to the World Series.
Not a chance.
Cubs go to the World Series.
Because I'd be a bandwagon guy at that point. I've already jumped off that bandwagon.
I think you have a prerogative.
I'll tell you what I got. I got Nats fever. And I'll tell you why.
I'm kind of into the Nats.
If Jeff Simoleon from MS Broadcasting buys the Washington Nationals.
Sure, and gets to wear his uniform.
For me and Mike. That's a dream come true.
Absolutely.
Now, here is... yes, Robbie?
No, I'm just listening. I'm sorry.
Oh, but you have headphones on.
We're listening through the headphones.
I can hear better.
I don't want to miss anything Buzz said.
He doesn't want to be a castaway from the show.
Oh, and Beth Ann just took the picture for the website?
See me and my friend Wilson on the website.
Wilson! www.dotamikewebsite.com. Now, I see what you made me do.
What?
I forgot what I was going to say.
Saying you wouldn't get back on the Cubs bandwagon.
No, it was about Jeff
Simoleon.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
And he bought another baseball team.
When me and Mike worked at WAVA in Washington, it was owned by MS Broadcasting.
Right.
And the station did everything first class. I mean, we gave away a Porsche a day. We'd give away $1 million, but really give away $1 million. I mean, the station threw money to get ratings. And company's doing great. Got stations all over the country. They buy the Seattle Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Jeff Simoleon, this was the biggest secret in the history of MS Broadcasting.
Right.
Mike and I were told we would be fired, no questions at all.
If we talked about it.
Mm. The truth is, this guy, this broadcaster, Jeff Simoleon, who bought the Mariners, walked into the first board meeting, and now he's a radio guy who's bought a baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing a full uniform with his name and number on it.
Yeah, exactly.
And everybody in the company was laughing about this.
I'm sure.
And they came to us and said, never talk about this on the radio. And the truth is that once MS Broadcasting bought the Seattle Mariners,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden, all the vans that the station had, like to go out and spot bumper stickers,
right.
They started getting sold one by one. I mean, I'm not making this up.
Wow. And we'd hear every month or so, there'd be another radio station in the chain that got sold in a major market.
And then one time we heard there was a station in St. Louis, and I think, is it Edgar Martinez? Was Edgar Martinez with the Mariners back then?
Yes, Edgar Martinez.
And we had a meeting where they actually said, Emmis has sold KSSP, whatever it is, in St. Louis.
Right.
Because we're going to sign Edgar Martinez for the Seattle Mariners.
Wow.
And now this guy, this tool, who still is in radio, has a chance. He's put his hat into the ring to buy the new team here in D.C., the Nationals.
Because he loves baseball. This is bad news for his employees.
Oh, boy.
Well, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Although I did read in the paper on Saturday, one of his quotes was that he would not be involved if he got the team in the day-to-day operation, that he has another job.
Ah.
Well, good. I'm glad you learned that lesson.
Sure, but there's no reason why having another job doesn't mean that you can't, sell radio stations.
Right. Sure.
That's his prerogative, but they were fun the way they did that, and then they finally sold ours too.
And Mike, I'll play this for you. and for the guy in the restaurant. And who would have ever thought we'd have a chance to play our disco version of Harry Carey so it can take me out to the ball game?
Who didn't love Harry Carey?
It's got a long-ass version.
Hello again, everybody. Holy cow, what a beautiful day for baseball.
Take me out to the ball.
Disco Harry Carey.
And of course, my wife, let's not forget her, Dutchie. Dutchie Carey.
Pass the Dutchie. Pass the Dutchie on the left-hand
side.
Buzz, are you still watching Channel 4?
I am, and no DJ report yet.
So Harvey's not on there yet?
DJ is Jack Diamond.
Oh, and about DJs, let's take a moment and see if we get anywhere here. About our station in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little research over the weekend, meaning that really all I did was look at the old Green Bay Press Gazettes. That's the newspaper there.
Okay.
Now, our station, WNFL, even with those callers, you'd think they'd be like the Packers station.
Right.
Sure. Well, they're not. Their station has a bunch of guys like us that talk. They've just got the rights back to broadcast the Packers games.
Wow.
And they want to broadcast, I think it's the Brewers,
right,
or whatever the basketball team is up there. And the
Brewers are the baseball team.
Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks. So what they're doing is they're going to be canning us, I guess, sometime in the next 30, 60 days, whatever, to put on play-by-play of these teams. Now, keep in mind, the Packers only play one day a week.
Mm-hmm.
The Brewers play, you know, most of their games at night, and the Bucks always play at night.
Right.
So it really wouldn't affect 2 to 6 when our show is on in Green Bay.
No.
But what they're going to do is take us and all these other shows off and put on Fox Sports Radio, which is just a pablum. It's crap.
Oh, it is garbage.
And not to mention, I did a little research. There already is a station in Green Bay. I take it back, two stations, AM and FM, WDUZ. They're already all sports.
That are doing it?
They run it with the ESPN crap instead of Fox Sports Radio crap.
It's the ultimate safe move.
So, no, but here's what I don't get. Good. You got the play-by-play rights to the Packers.
Right.
That's fantastic.
That's strong.
That's interesting, too.
Right.
You got the Brewers? That's great. You got the Bucks? Whatever. Why are you going to take our show off put on some syndicated piece of crap when there's already, not that our show's not a syndicated piece of crap, but it's a different kind of syndicated
crap. Entertaining, and we've got a good following in Green Bay.
Than the syndicated sports crap that's already on two other stations in Green Bay.
Come on, guys, we like sports.
So what we're going to do now is attempt, you know, back in the good old days, we could just call this guy. Live.
Calling the program director.
Oh,
thank you for answering.
Now, Rob, we'll see if we can get this guy on the air.
Guys, would you get voicemail?
Well, the first layer of voicemail.
Right.
So we'll call the guy, see if he can come on the air, and flat out just ask him, what about our show? Does it jive with this idiotic all sports thing? And the last time I checked, Green Bay was a one-team town.
Voicemail or not? He's out of the office.
Ask for the GM.
How about the general manager?
There you go.
NFL?
Yeah. How about the president? What's his name?
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
What'd they say?
They're checking. They have a lot of changes going on, so she's looking.
Here's the thing. Well, you ain't got a station that we could fit on. I mean,
one of those deals where they got five of them in one building?
Yes. I think it's Midwest Communications is the name of the company.
Yeah,
they own an ass load of stations.
All right, come on.
And if they won't do it.
Haven't we delivered for them up there?
I believe so.
I think we have.
I believe so. And if not them, well, then, as I mentioned the other day, how about some low-rated station like an Appleton or Fond du Lac? Well, it's something that gets into Green Bay.
Fond du Lac.
Mike, that's Wisconsin.
Is that the thing you put on the fondue pot when you're done eating it?
Or is it Fond du Lac? I don't know. Here's Dennis in Green Bay. Dennis.
Good day, gentlemen.
Hi there.
I don't give a rip how you're doing. I just don't want to lose the show.
Now we're working on it.
Hey, I've got some more details on what they're going to be broadcasting as well. They want to fill a lot of that time with local events, such
Hold on. I got to stop you because this is what I read in the Green Bay Press Gazette that really gave me the red ass.
Okay. Yep.
This guy, the program director, says what he's looking forward to covering is 3-on-3 basketball competition.
Yeah.
High school volleyball.
There's good radio.
What? Yeah, and God.
Soccer.
And intramural soccer.
Oh, my God.
Not professional. Yep. Not professional.
Well, come on. Don't they want to entertain their listeners?
I mean,
here's a little insight to the company that owns WNFL. They own the top two FM stations here.
Yes.
Okay. One is a country station and one is your garden variety top 40, so on and so forth.
Yes. And whatnot.
Whatnot. So it's widely believed here that the two AM stations that they own are pretty much their tax write-offs. You know, they're pretty much there for tax purposes.
Okay, you're giving me too much information. Too much like radiophile stuff. And it might be very true that it's a tax write-off, but the point is...
No.
God damn it.
You still try to run a business. You still try to run it. Right.
Here's the thing, WNFL. Unlike the other guys you got on your station that are syndicated, I bet they don't give a crap about the people in Green Bay. And we really do. We've been on that market something like 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm. For one of our smaller affiliates, we do get a lot of calls from that market. We really do.
So, Robbie, what are you doing now?
Believe it or not, there's a programming seminar and no one's in the building. She doesn't think there's a board op at WNFL right now, but she's checking.
Well, I don't want to talk to a board.
No, who wants to do that?
I don't want to talk to the
Can
board
I
op.
Can I hang up on her then?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Just stay with
her all day long?
Well, we got to take a break here.
Sure.
Hey, stay with it for another minute.
All right.
Anyway, here's the point. The program director's name is Mark Daniels. Now, first off, you want to be a success in this biz? Change that first name, dude. Think about going as Jack Daniels.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, that's
or if you want to do a little Dumb and Dumber, how about Jeff?
All right, there. As always, Mike, the thinking man.
And if you flip the country, make it Charlie.
But either way, Mark Daniels, you incredible boob. I don't care what you run between 2 and 6. If it's volleyball, hold on. Hi, Robbie.
And if you want to work at Zoll, El Zoll, you change that name to Manuel.
There is no one in the studio at WNFL right now.
Well, how can that be?
Yeah.
Because how would they know to play the commercials?
I'm taking notes for Mr. Mellon. I don't know. And everyone's at the seminar.
Well, come on. You
can leave a voicemail.
They're probably listening. They're all under their desks right now.
Listen, you dummies. This matters a lot to us. And if you're going to just unceremoniously dump us, as we mentioned last week, find us another home. Put us on another station. And if there's another station in Green Bay or Appleton, wherever it is, and you work at that station, call us up.
We want to be on in the Green Bay market for sure.
Yeah, we do, because the last thing Green Bay needs is to hear whatever is on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, but it's not going to be that. It sounds like he's going to be doing things like local volleyball.
Mm-hmm. Fox Sports Radio is the same as ESPN Radio.
That's right. There's a nice shot. Yeah, there's a nice shot. Yeah, there's a nice shot. Yeah, there's a nice shot.
What they should do is throw up an announcement to get a board up. Because there's no one in the studio.
Hello, here is Jake in Green Bay. Jake.
Howdy ho, guys.
Hi, Jake.
This blows so incredibly bad. I just got to say that it really gives me the blues.
Well, why don't you change your shirts?
Right, I'll
take
that
shirt. No, I'm sorry. Here. Call me back if you want to talk about the blues. Why we're not down in the Green Bay.
Well, anyway, the guy's name is Mark Daniels, and what sucks about it is that he's doing these interviews in the Green Bay Press Gazette.
Right.
And, listen, here's how I feel about it. If you're going to kill us, just kill us. Mm-hmm. But don't announce it in the newspaper.
Without telling us.
And announce that you're going to run badminton in the afternoon, you dumb ass.
Sneaky.
You know, if you're going to cancel us, be a man and pull the trigger.
Yeah, I mean, he's like making all the, doing all the interviews. So here are the changes we're going to make. But, you know, you don't tell your people that you're canon. Yeah,
understand, I'm not asking to be canceled today. I'm not saying take the show off today. Right. What I'm saying is be honest with your audience. And you don't have the guts to because you know you'll be flooded with calls and emails. And then you'll say, oh, those are just the active listeners. Well, I have news for you, dumbass. I looked at the ratings for the station. Those active listeners, they're the only people you've got that are listening.
Mm-hmm.
The only people. And you take our show off, and you're going to be down in the land of 0. Whatever share it is you're going to have.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's kind of a write-off. I've never heard that before.
They've clearly lost their mind.
Hello, here's Brian in Green Bay. Brian.
Hey, Don and Mike, I was the beer vendor that sent you the button a while ago.
Oh, thank you. I've still got that hanging above my whatever it is, but thank you for that.
I'm honored. Anyways, we don't want you guys to disappear. I'm a 28-year-old guy with I'm single and I have a job. I'm their demographics. I don't want you to disappear. You guys are wonderful.
See, the thing is, when you've got a guy like this, program director Mark Daniels, who I read about in your newspaper, that's why I wanted to get this guy on the show, because he seems to be one of these guys, it's all about him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I've got to be the guy. Listen, we can't have anything from the prior regime.
Right.
We're on a bunch of sports stations across America.
And we went on sports
stations. That we do real good on.
Makes sense.
Hold on. Here's somebody who says she works there.
I believe Harvey's on, too.
Tessa? Oh, Buzz, we're taping that.
Very good.
So we'll be able to hear the Jack Diamond profile coming up.
Tessa!
Hello, Tessa. Hello, you work for the station in Green Bay?
I don't actually work for NFL, but I work for, we have 7 radio stations here.
Seven, my
other
God.
Stations.
What an octopus.
Okay, so what's going on there?
We love you guys.
Sure. You what?
they decided to change format.
Uh-huh.
We plead with them all the time, and no, there's not. Everyone's is gone to a programming seminar right now.
Well, it sounds like they need to.
But there must be a board op, though, at least.
What
right?
It's actually everything's voice tracked right now, or like just it's voice tracked.
Darling, but our show can't be voice. We're live. We take commercial breaks at random times. You got to have a board op running our show right
Somebody's
now.
Somebody's got to hit a button.
There's no one down there. I don't know.
So if we took a break right now.
I don't know how they worked that out.
Are they running like our commercials from Washington, D.C.?
No, we run
the networks?
Local commercials.
Yeah, well, then you've got to have...
You got to have somebody there minding the store.
I think you should have gone to that seminar as well. this seminar that all of these incredible minds went to.
Uh-huh.
Tell me, will they learn all together or one at a time how to pull their head out from their ass?
It's funny. On Friday,
yes, it
when
is.
You guys were talking about it, we were listening, and the head of programming came in here, and he was listening, too. And we're like, see, we need to keep these guys on because we listen to you every day.
All right, let me ask you.
Uh-huh.
You work in the building. You work for another radio station in there, but you work for the corporation.
Yep, I work in traffic.
You work in traffic for the corporation?
That's commercials.
What?
That means she puts the commercials on the program longer.
Right.
Do we have... within the building, do we have a number of individuals that support the show?
Actually, yeah. There's a couple, and then I tell them all the time. I'm like, I talk to random people out on the street, and I'll hear someone quote something that they heard off your show, and I'm like, did you get that from Don and Mike? And they're like, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
here's the thing.
I just put the bug in their ear. You know, I mean, really, we appreciate the support.
Here's the thing with this guy Jack Daniels. Maybe he didn't understand this. That radio is about passion, and listening to the radio is about building a relationship with the person in the goddamn car every day, trying to forget their goddamn life and their goddamn problems.
Right.
And they goddamn like to turn on the show and hear us talk about our goddamn lives and our goddamn problems. They sure as hell don't want to hear what Derek Jeter is hitting. No offense, Mike, with baseball, but they don't give a rat's ass.
Well, you could use a football analogy.
Okay. They don't give a rat's ass if Adam Vinatieri is going to re-sign with the Patriots or not.
Right.
Yep.
You know what they want? They want to hear that Mike went to Gallagher. They want to hear that I had kidney stones.
Right.
And God damn it. Passion is...
You keep taking his name in vain. He's not going to intervene in this situation.
He's okay with this. Listen, God damn it. Passion is what we got on this show. Do you hear me, honey? God damn it.
You put on a very entertaining
yes!
show. We love it.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here.
I know. We've actually tried to get you out here, Don, to take you... my co-worker, Julie.
Yeah, and boy, am I glad
wanted to take you to a Packer game.
Right.
I'm glad I didn't take you up on that.
Is there anything you think you
could
do
like
to help
us? Judas inviting me to a game.
Don, you're yelling at the lady that supports us.
We almost did a petition, you know. I mean, we were trying
this
to do
an
what...
This is an ally.
Yeah, we almost did a petition.
This is now...
Well, no, because I've gone to the program director several times and said to him... I mean, not the program director, the head of programming.
Right.
Sorry.
Okay, you can't use the S-word, darling, but we understand how he got with
you. That's how he was.
This is the problem.
Sorry, I know I'm not...
The problem with this guy, Jack Daniels, is this. He's the program director. He wants to... I know it's Mark, but Jack Daniels is funnier.
That's right.
He wants to
well,
be
is
like,
that the head of programming you're talking about?
Yeah, he's the PD of the station.
But, I mean, did you talk to the head of programming or the PD for this?
I just got to go.
Oh, you got a little signal.
I gotta go.
Oh,
sorry, guys.
You've been instructed.
We love you.
Thanks for being brave enough to come on the air with us, Tessa.
Okay. Bye.
Hey, bye-bye.
You know what? She's like, that is totally out of the goodness of her heart.
Yep.
I
agree.
Hope they don't. You know what they do at those little places?
WNFL, here's the problem. You're going to call that woman in the office. You're going to yell at her now. This was what I was trying to scream to her about. Me and Mike, we still love doing what we do.
Right.
Buzz loves it.
Mm-hmm.
Rob loves it.
We do.
Our listeners love it. Our markets matter to us. She has passion for our radio show that she would put her ass on the line, call in and say, hey, I talked to the program director.
Mm-hmm.
Cut her some slack. Try listening to your listeners and try this. Try accommodating our show with whatever new piece of crap format you're going to try.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do something at your WNFL, that's fine. But we know that we do have a base of people that dig this show
right.
in that market, and it does matter to us. We do care. We'd like to at least have another option for this radio.
And the show is a good fit.
You're goddamn right, and if not on this station, put us on one of your other POS stations.
Mm-hmm.
If you got like seven POS stations,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, you know, we're already on
we
one of them.
We can fit in any format.
What do you have to lose?
I mean, really, and I say this to you now, Jack Daniels. I don't know how long you've been in radio. I've been in radio now 148 years.
Wow.
And I want to tell you something. The reason that I've survived, I hear that, Mike, but I'm ignoring it now.
I know you're.
The reason I've been in radio for 258 years is this. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love being on the radio with my best friend, Mike. I love having Buzz here. I love having Rub here. I love even our stupidest listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you dumb asses get that translates. That translates.
Why when your voice is bad do you scream more than you should?
I'm mad, Mike.
Your voice is bad to start with. Are you
so
trying to blow it out 100%?
So is yours.
We're all ill.
Yes, we are.
We're all still sick. Having fun, but we're all sick.
Anyway, I'm just trying to get my point across.
I know.
Mm-hmm. That's my cell. Listen how I'm willing to humble myself here. I scream like an idiot, yell, a lot of people would go, Green Bay, who gives a rat?
Yeah, and you got us
40 other stations, what do you care?
We care because at a certain point, you take a market where we've really enjoyed the relationship, and we try to fix it. We try to get involved. Hey, 10%, maybe less than that, chance something like this is going to work. But damn it, we got to try because we do care.
Good luck with the volleyball. Good luck with that.
And you know, the guy's running her an attitude. You know why? You know, really? Give me a break.
Leave her alone.
Why do you think people inside the station would say to you, hey, this is a good show?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, Jack Daniels, I don't know how long you've been in radio. As I mentioned, I've been in radio over 500 years. And the whole time that I've been in radio,
uh-huh.
I've seen the attitude decline. It's so rare to find a show that clicks with its audience,
mm-hmm.
and even in this case, obviously clicks with a woman who's about to be fired by
yes,
you.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's all I have to say.
Come on.
God damn it.
Make it happen this time. Listen to your listeners.
Friggin' idiots. I mean, seriously. Hey, Mark Daniels, Jack Daniels. When's the last time a national regional show spent 15 minutes talking about your goddamn city and your goddamn station?
Even cared, yeah.
Right. Has Ima said anything about that?
Stupid idiots.
Don
and Mike. I don't know if they're on in Madison, Wisconsin,
Let's
Green
take
Bay.
A call. Cape Bay, California. Hello.
Hi, Larry. Hi. Don Ima. How are you doing today? Love your radio show. Can you tell me what happened to Don and Mike in New York City? If they're not on live anymore?
Are they back on? They were taken off for a while. Are they on or not on the air in New York, Don?
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know whether they're on or not.
Well, Don and Mike are on. They're on in Washington, right? Don and Mike.
Great.
I think
that's where they originated from, yeah.
Las Vegas. Hello.
Let me pretend. Here's the deal. Let me pretend I don't know where they originate from.
But idiot.
Yeah. I know exactly where they originate from.
All right, pep talk over. but really, WNFL,
come on.
You know, as Tom Petty sings, hey, don't do us like that.
Yes.
Come on. Yeah. You know, we're free-falling here.
Absolutely.
You get what I'm saying?
Come on.
I'm trying to think desperately of any other. Oh, please, don't make us a refugee.
We don't want to live like that.
I would hate to disappoint my Is it All American Girl? Is that the name of the song by Tom Petty?
Well, she's an American. No matter what happens, you rest assured we won't back down.
All right, I give up.
That's the winner.
King of the Tom Petty's, Mike. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The Don and Mike Show goes to war.
This time, no mercy on you.
Sure.
You son of a bitch.
The enemy, Jack Diamond, a.k.a. Harvey Joel Fisher.
The Harvey Joel Fisher Pandora's box has been opened.
Everybody in the radio business hates you.
So does this war have Harvey in over his head?
I got some news for you. You're in deep water now, okay? You're swimming with the big boys now.
Don and Mike even mercifully offer the enemy a way out.
And the only way it's going to end is when you come on this show and ask us publicly to please serve me.
Good morning.
All right, well, I will accept this as your apology since you were big enough to call us.
Well, thank you, guys.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
The Allied forces of the Don and Mike Show prove victorious once again, keeping America safe. So remember what we've learned. Don't f*** with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. And God bless America.
The Don and Mike Show.
Forgot this one.
They'll still be here after they thin the herd. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Mitzi Betty.
It was a beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day.
Sun beat down.
Sun was beating down in Green Bay. Radio was up.
Man, oh man, well, it happened, didn't it?
Yeah. It was not our intent to have those weasels yank our show today in Green Bay.
They pulled the plug, yeah.
We were trying to give an impassioned, me more than Mike, what with my goddamn and screaming, but we feel the same way.
Yes.
Trying to get the message across. We care.
And like so many times when you do care and you show passion, they respond by saying, pull the plug. They don't care for the passion.
All we have now are calls from Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And then we'll listen to the tape of Harvey.
Very good.
Hello, Carl.
Hello, Don and Mike.
See, we got to talk to these people because they can't hear the show now,
right?
Yeah, our only link.
See, all we did was speak the truth. I mean, it's been in the newspaper.
Did they say anything, make any kind of announcement, or just pull the plug?
No, it was mid-sentence of you're speaking about your goddamn passion, and out she went.
Yeah.
And what did they run? What did they put on?
It went straight to national spots, and now it's up on Fox Sports.
Well, that's right, where they were going anywhere. So,
congratulations. You know, I mean, here's the thing. You know, if you give a rat's ass, and you read in the Green Bay newspaper that your radio station's changing format, and you talk about it on the radio, like, what are they afraid that we're going to say? Maybe the truth?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I don't get it. We got are people now on hold. Here's Nicole in Green Bay. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, you guys.
Hi there.
Well, I just want to sit on hold all day just so I can listen to you guys.
Isn't that? I want to see if you pass along to everyone in Green Bay, we're real sorry that they took us off because we had the gall to talk about the changes that they had announced in the newspaper.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, if we didn't care, we wouldn't say anything, but we care.
I don't know, but I know there's a large... I would think there's a large population of women here in Green Bay listening to you guys, but once they switch it to sports, it's not happening.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. It matters, but it doesn't matter with this guy or whoever. And how can they pull the plug if they're all at the how to get your head out of your ass?
There's no one there, not even a board op.
Tony Robbins get-together they're having.
Not even a board op, yeah.
All right, thank you.
I love you guys.
Thank you,
honey.
I
bet it was a phone call to, hey, switch it over to Fox Sports.
Yeah. Hello, Eric.
What's it now?
Eric.
Hey, yeah, man. You want to call those weasels at NFL and tell them there's a bunch of people at a nuclear plant that are going to miss your show?
Well,
are you listening at the nuclear plant?
No, I'm on my way home.
Yeah. You work there, though, on a regular basis?
Yeah.
You watch 24?
Do I watch 24? No.
I want you to call me Barus. And I want you to meet my mom.
Barus Aras.
I am Barus's mother. And say hello to father. Buzz.
Hello.
Father, why do you want to kill me?
For the cause.
You are not my son.
This is Jack Bauer. Don and Mike have been canceled from WNFL. Now. Do it. 3 Mile Island time.
So you really do work in a nuclear power plant?
Yeah, I do. I'm a mechanical engineer there.
Well, the storyline on 24, of course, is that they're, you know, melting down. And that obviously, that'd be a worst-case scenario for you.
Yeah, they're melting down because our show was canceled.
That's right.
Hello, Dan. All these calls from Green Bay. Sorry about that, Green Bay.
Guys.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. See, the thing is, What do? Do we not speak about it and just wait for them to pull the plug? Mm-hmm. Or do we say something to show them that we give a crap, and then, you know, then it's you're playing chicken with them. Then it's like, well, okay, we'll pull you off.
Right.
Yeah. You dopes. Go to hell. I mean that. Go to hell. Go to hell in a Packer tractor.
Yeah. $30,000 worth of tractor. And we're not talking about the big kind. We're talking about lawn tractor.
Hello, Dean. Don and Mike show. Dean O'Dean.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Yes, Dean. Hi.
Well, first of all, I got to tell you, you're going to miss the hell out of you guys.
Well, you know, let's not give up on that yet.
Well,
I mean, this is just Midwest Communications. There are other people who own stations up there, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't know details on that. I just know, you know, call letters and call numbers and stuff. But I know that, well, WNFL was a POS station to begin with, actually. So
right, but it was our POS station.
That's right.
All right, thank you.
Listen, I mean, there's plenty of FM stations to get your butt on up here. I mean, we can pick you up all over the place up here if you get yourself on 105.7 FM.
That's the second time we've heard that one suggested.
Thank you, my friend. We've never, you know, and that's a novel thought.
Mm-hmm.
Find an FM station.
Yeah, great idea. That's crazy. Works here in Washington. Come on now.
I'm going to call.
We're available.
The business line, but I got to do this off the air.
This doesn't work. We're available now, right?
Absolutely.
For another station?
To ask what happened.
Yes.
Hold on. What did you press?
Zero.
I guarantee they're probably not answering their phones.
Not at this point.
I'm just calling on the main number now, and I got that same thing Rob got. You know,
voicemail.
Communications. But let me see.
They're probably all hiding for sure.
In Green Bay, they own 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They own 7.
Oh, that's plenty.
What's Cumulus? Cumulus is a company that owns 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Wow.
Then there's Midwest Communications. That's different. They own 1, 2, 3.
That's the one we're on.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, there's Midwest Dimensions. That's a different company.
Oh. That's I think they make adult films.
They only have one station.
Oh, that's our company. Yeah,
you know what? I'm not kidding. No. You know what they just said?
What?
I'm not kidding. I'm not getting you now.
A recording?
You have reached the helpline of Kraft Foods Green Bay. Either I misdialed.
Might have been a misdial, perhaps.
204-353-7-7.
Is that recording?
All right, now I've pressed zero. I just want to see what they say.
Sure.
Transferring you now.
Cheese department, please.
You know, I bet I did call the wrong number, because now I'm...
Kraft Baby Marshmallows.
Now I'm just hearing some disc jockey on hold.
Ah.
Country.
No, you know what? Sounds like Fox Sports Radio.
I got country music.
Nothing wrong with that, Rob.
No, I love it.
Yeah, the salary... I'm going to tell you what I'm hearing on hold right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the salary cap should be anywhere between $10 million and $21
million. Ooh.
Write to voicemail.
Uh-huh.
Sure. If you tell me what station you're calling from,
uh-huh.
If you're calling for a fax number, it's 444-11055.
Okay.
Begin recording at oh, God.
Yes. Hello?
Linda?
This is Mr. Brett Favre. I am a resident of Green Bay, and I'm real upset that you have taken the Don and Mike show off. Please say hello to my friend, Amon Green.
I'm just handing the phone to Mike now.
Hello? This is Amon Green. I'm very disturbed that you've taken the Don and Mike program off the radio on WNFL. So the Green family, Amon, that's me, and everyone else, wants you to put the Don and Mike show back on the air. Well, thank you. Back to you, Brett Favre.
Hello, this is not Brett Favre. This is Mark Shimura.
Your daughters are so sexy.
Oh, no.
I loved going in the hot tub with them, and we especially love listening to the Don and Mike show.
Yeah.
Because this is Mark Chamora.
Yeah, Chamora.
Hey, listen, you ass. It's very seriously. This is Marie Lombardi. I'm calling you. What, I just said that.
I know.
You, wait, Rob wrote the same joke. He thought of it the same time as I said it. I am the real Marie Lombardi.
That's right.
I am calling you from the grave. Right now, I'm on my fifth carton of Marlboros, and I'm pissed, jackass. One more person. Vince wants to speak to you. Here you go, darling.
Wow, from the grave.
Hey, Jokes! You bunch of Jokes! This is the late Vince Lombardi! Ooh! I'm gonna haunt you in your dreams! I bet that scares you! Watch out! I want Don and Mike back on WNFL! I was the NFL! Scared, Mr. Daniels? Ooh! Put them back on the air! You're an ass! You hear me? An ass!
Back to you, Marie.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, but time has expired.
Oh,
all right.
That would indicate that
somebody pulled the plug on it.
Oh, but that's a great.
Thanks for the support, Packer fans.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't sleep for 10 seasons. Now you won't either. Boo, the ghost of Vince Lombardi!
All right, well, let's see. I would say, looking at this list of crappy stations, and I'm going to look below where our station was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, WRVM-FM, that's Christian. I think that's out of the...
That'd be a good fit.
...title of question.
Yeah.
What about WKSZ-FM? That's Hot Adult Contemporary.
It's hot, baby.
Now, we don't fit there. Here we go. WAUN. I guarantee this will be the station, if we're back in Green Bay,
yes,
that Westwood One will get to sign the contract.
That's a Spanish station, isn't it?
No, it's not.
WAUN?
Not yet.
Juan. WAUN.
Uh-huh.
Format, talk.
Ah.
Current rating, 0.00.
Thank you, Mr. Blatarski.
Our new home.
I bet that's the station we end up on.
Amen.
In Green Bay.
Well,
so,
we'll get one.
Sorry it's happened like that. Oh, we got us people from Green Bay on the phone, and frankly, now we've got to move on because they can't hear the show.
Nothing right. We can do.
Hello, Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom. Tom, thank you for listening, but unfortunately, well, you know what happened.
Yeah, Mark Daniels was in a meeting and somehow magically figured out you were talking about him.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, Tom, see? Those Wisconsinites ain't so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Dennis.
Yeah, hey, a little bit of history about Mark Daniels, since you already know that the station's off the air now.
Mm-hmm.
Or your show's off the station, anyway.
Right.
He's a local sports guy. He's been doing local sports for like 25 years, so this is like his dream come true. That's why this is all happening now.
Yeah, but here's the thing. What has he done, like radio or local TV or what?
Yeah, radio. Yeah, he's been with Midwest Communications for over 25 years now.
Of course he has.
So this is his chance to run a station into a brick wall.
Yeah,
exactly. Right,
good luck. Good luck to him.
Yeah.
I hope he gets the same venereal disease that Paul Warning had.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The packet trivia.
That's a secret. That Paul Warning had VD.
I thought that was Forrest Gregg. Watch out, packet fan.
Forrest Gregg. You know, we shouldn't do this now. We're not on a Green
Bay. I know, it's not being appreciated.
We ain't going to get it if we say Forrest Grip. Forrest Gregg had the drip, drip, drip.
Right.
The painful drip.
Come on now.
We got we've got the Harvey stuff. Here we go. Here's someone else we hate. Up, we are up on a break.
Oh.
Dagnabbit. When we come back, we'll play this tape of Jack Diamond, Harvey Fisher.
Yes, mm-hmm. And no matter what's on it, we will make fun of it.
Yeah, well, Channel 4, mm-hmm. NBC4, is doing the thing. They're in sweeps for ratings.
Ooh, Packer fans, I caught it from a toilet seat.
and when they can't come up with stories about bacteria or how your drinking water is killing you,
that's right.
They go to radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, Channel 4 is doing The voices behind your favorite
face
morning.
Behind the voice.
What is it?
The face behind the voice.
The morning show. Behind your voice.
Yeah, while they're, you know, not covering the cats that were neutered in the cafeteria. They loved that story last night.
How great was that?
Cats neutered in a cafeteria? Thank you, Jesus. That's what the news director said.
Boy, I'd be pissed if I was one of those parents. And the school tried to hide it from the parents that for the 3-day holiday weekend at some school in the D.C. area, they opened up the cafeteria.
So like a...
spay and neuter your cat.
Or an organization that wanted to, you know, prevent unwanted cat pregnancy. Mm-hmm.
So they got the videotape of people bringing the cats in, and it's happening in the cafeteria.
On the tables that the kids eat on.
Where little Johnny is going to be having his mac and cheese today.
Right.
Wipe them down, they'll be fine.
Would you like a little, a little sloppy Joe with cat dander?
So, yeah, they had the parents all uptight and the guy from the school saying, listen, we're going to do everything we can to clean this up. And I promise you, if there's any cat leavings behind, Johnny will be fine.
This chicken a la king tastes funny.
Chicken a la king. Chicken a la king.
Yum, yum.
All right, so Harvey was on TV.
Harvey.
Jack Diamond Morning Show, Mix 107.3. And we're mixing it up with the morning crew at Mix 107 as we continue our week-long series, Faces Behind the Mic.
Okay, this will be a good segment.
Welcome to local news.
We got a history with this guy, with Jack Diamond. Yeah. I was at Jack Daniels.
And the reason, we'll be doing it later, but the reason we make fun is because he's just such a consummate professional broadcaster.
Thank you. Thank you.
My name is... P-H-O-N-Y. Morning, man.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I wish we were really big, like Dylan or the Stones.
What do you mean big? We're as big as anyone. We have a hit show on CBS. Why can't you see that?
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right. Hey, Green Bay.
Hey, what happened?
I don't know.
And now, because someone has to be the dumbass, here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I do have the information from Arbitron. I just, got this. Here are the facts from the last ratings. Station WNFL in Green Bay was in 15th place with a 1.8. Our show, among all listeners, was in 6th place with a 3.9.
Top 10 show, good
number. Among
numbers.
Adults, 25 to 54, 7.1,
ooh,
number 3 in the market.
That's very good.
Yeah, so okay, that's
Daniels, nice move, moron.
That's a good idea.
Unbelievable. You know, these... God, they let these guys go.
All right. So that's
stupid.
That's amazing. That. Mike, let's not worry about it, stress about it, because Westwood One's going to handle it for us. On to other good news.
Hi, this is Mix 107.3's Jack Diamond, wishing you and yours the happiest of holidays with the sounds of Christmas, a gift from our family to yours. On Washington's Mix 107.3.
Oh, God. This guy's the biggest jive-ass in the history of the world.
Well, we've been having fun with him for years.
We've loved tooling on this guy for however long he's been in town. 50, not as long as us.
Right.
But he's been here a good long time, and he's always sucked. And we've always talked about him. And
he's always been kind of phony.
He's always complained about it. Mm-hmm. And then we lay off him for a while.
And then he comes on TV and we can talk about him. That's kind of our free pass to talk about
him. Oh, yeah. Because Jack Diamond is really everything that we hate about radio. But at the same time, our show wouldn't be as great as it is if we didn't have tools like Jack Diamond to rip on.
Yeah, right? We just rip on him because he's like Mr. Phony Slicky Boy radio guy. That's what it is now.
Typical.
Because, all my personal animosity that I had when I worked with the guy, that's really gone. I couldn't even remember what it's about now.
The guy.
But what it is now is listening to him whenever I have listened to him, when it's always... Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, how you doing? Yes, Mr. Slicky Boy. Yeah, Mr. Radio. Here's the way you do it. It's borderline carny.
And
it really is borderline carny.
Our history, and he's done every whore thing in the world. I know I kid Mike about when Mike had a band, but really, this guy had like the worst DJ band ever.
Yeah.
And Like me, he liked whoring out his family on the radio. Mm-hmm. He would put his wife and his kids on the radio. That is, until he decided to dump her and marry someone from his DJ band. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, that family is gone. And he's talking now about how he gets along so well with his ex. And they're all like one big, happy family.
That's great, man. It's just sweetness and light and never the real reality of the world. You know, it's all just a super rosy picture all the time. And I got to tell you the real stuff.
Here's what you need to know about this guy. When he first came to town, his whole rap has been on the air. I am the world's nicest guy, the most understanding dad, mm-hmm. husband, father, and radio host. Right. I mean, that's his rap.
Well, it's interesting you mention that because I do have a memory now that I sing. I blocked them all out. Well, actually, I happen to remember the one about the edict and the memo that he put down to the air staff when he was program director that none of the air staff could socialize together outside of the radio station.
Wow.
Now, you might think.
Was he breaking that rule, Mike?
I believe he was. Yes, sir. Well, he was trying to break the rule. He was trying to break the rule with as many women as he could.
There wasn't a rule, though, against putting your name on a plaque in a Corvette, was there?
That was another great one.
Jack Diamond Corvette.
So here you go. Here's the two big ones. Mm-hmm. First time we ever met the guy, we never really even met him, was one day he had started doing a morning show, and Mike and I were still doing a morning show. And we're talking about him. And he called, and his whole rap is what a nice guy he is.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in our office one day, and they say, Jack Diamond's on the phone. Mm. Both Mike and I are in the office. We think it's a goof.
Yeah.
We take it on the speakerphone. It's him.
Wow.
And he is screaming obscenities at us and saying, what's your fax number? How dare you talk about me? And screaming obscenities.
Did he want to send ratings from one of his other markets?
Yes. He had just come from San Diego.
Right. He wanted to show us what a heavy-duty player he was.
And he faxed us the ratings from San Diego.
Right.
Then the next day we got on the air and we read all that. And we said, hey, listen, this nice guy who's coming off as Mr. I'm everything to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You should have heard the filth coming out of this guy's mouth towards us.
You guys, yeah, effers.
So we talked about it. Then we left that station. We came to work at this station. We still talked about him, even though we were on in the afternoon. He's on in the morning.
Right.
Do you remember the day that he came down?
First,
he called the general manager.
Called your boss.
He called Ken Stevens, mm-hmm. and he said, our general manager at the time, and said, I really wish Doc and Mike would stop talking about me.
Please make them stop.
So a few times Ken Stevens made me laugh. He called me up and he said, I've been in radio a long time. I've never heard of this before. A disc jockey from another station called me, like he's our mommy,
right?
Called Ken, mm-hmm. to ask if we would please stop talking about
exactly.
it. Exactly. I said to Ken, what did you tell him? Ken said, I told him to stuff it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we kept talking about Harvey. And then he showed up at the station one day, and he brought us all, like, Mix 107 coffee mugs.
Yeah, here's a coffee mug. Yes, sir. Super duper. But it was still with that undercurrent of, like, you know, We don't like him, he doesn't like us. He knew that. Yeah.
So then we go through periods where we don't talk about him, and he gets a little cocky.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says something about us, and then it started again for the last time.
Right.
And it was hyperbole on my part. I was threatening him.
Hyperbole.
You know what I mean.
Hyperbole. Right.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
The hyperbole, incidentally, is what I'm going to be playing in this weekend. I want to tell you something.
Yes.
It's part of my charm.
I understand it's part of your charm. It's
part of my charm. I understand the word.
And yeah, right.
I mangle it.
Mm-hmm.
His thing is, he's on the air saying something about us. So we get on the air and say something about him. And he said, Harvey, listen. Uh-huh. This is it. I'm going to let all...
But he said something, I don't even remember what it was, but it was definitely a real super dig.
Oh, I know what it was.
It's like he opened the whole can of worms up again.
This was 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. I remember this.
Right.
I got busted for pot.
Oh, right. Did he bring that up?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay, so he really wanted to play rough, and we played rough to the tune of maybe 2 hours of our radio show,
yeah.
and we indicated to him that we could do 4 hours a day, which we could, unless he came on the air and apologized.
I said, I got a bunch of secrets about him, and the truth is I do, but I don't know if they're true or not. If I said them on the radio, I'd be just slandering him.
Right.
So we said, Harvey, listen, that's it. You got to call up and apologize. Now, we've been in a million DJ fights. Never would I ever... I take it back. One time I did call Opie and Anthony. Just because they pissed me off.
I remember. Yeah.
And in typical Opie and Anthony fashion,
right?
They wouldn't take the call. They enjoy just hanging up on
me. Oh, sure. And then you realize, you just don't do that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so he called the next day after we were doing
it. But here's the thing. When I called Opie and Anthony, I was pissed at them. And I was trying to show them, I'm not afraid to go on your
exactly.
air.
Exactly.
What we did was challenge Jack Diamond. We said, We will not stop talking about you and reveal your darkest secrets unless you call us live on our show tomorrow and apologize. And you know what? The son of a bitch did.
He did. And that was it until now. And
now he's back on TV.
And he's got a little TV thing that they did.
RV season's open again.
So here we go. Let's give this a listen from Channel 4 today.
Jack Diamond Morning Show, Mix 107.3. And we're mixing it up with the morning crew at Mix 107 as we continue our week-long series.
Now, is that that
Faces
guy
Behind the Mic.
Yeah. Is that Jim Handley?
Yes, sure it is, Mike.
What is it about these guys?
What is about Jim Handley's gums?
Well, by God, Jim Handley.
What a mouth. He's got a mouth like Bonnie Franklin, one day at a time.
Krebs, Handley. Put on top of your resume if you want to work at Channel 4, you're a nerd.
All right, so before we play this tape, what do you think the focus will be? Well, the focus, and I'm talking about from Jack's perspective.
Oh, it's got to be like the familia. It's got to be the family thing. That's his whole thing. He's the family guy, and it's not the cartoon show.
I'm going to guess that he goes more with the I'm into entertaining families, not about his own family. I say he's going to go more with, like, I'm the public servant. I care about kids.
Let's get surprised.
Let's find out.
I think you're both sort of right. I think it's going to be that they're on-air friends for everybody.
Very good. Yeah, sure. Super.
Oh, that's another thing.
To each other.
Man, if you got a kid that's sick.
Yeah, oh yeah, he exploits that.
This guy.
Yeah, that's his wheelhouse.
Loves it. That's what this guy's all about. Hey, we got a little Tommy on the phone. Hey, Tommy, how many days until you die?
I think only 3 days, Jack.
Well, our listeners could really help you out, little Tommy.
Thanks a lot, you three. Pat me on the back, man.
Jack Diamond Morning Show, Mix 107.3. And we're mixing it up with the morning crew at Mix 107 as we continue our week-long series,
Jim Handley.
Faces Behind the Mic. Ah. Jack Diamond and Company kicked things off early with their brand of play-by-play humor on the day. We got a chance to sit in on air with some loyal listeners.
Also, you should know this. The guy cannot suck enough. the groaners that we read every day from the joke service.
To him.
I'm not kidding about this. I'm not kidding you now, kids.
Right.
To him. Like, these joke services, this is this guy's material.
Real legit, right? Yeah.
I mean, really, he'll come out of a record and read 4 or 5 jokes from a joke show.
Now, is this him in a studio? How did this work?
This is him in a studio, and you heard mention of
fact... I mean, in the TV studio? Or
no, in his own radio studio. And
Q107.
You heard mention of the fact that there are listeners present. There are about a half dozen folding chairs.
I know what that is.
Yeah?
That's Free For All Friday.
Ah.
you invite your listeners down.
And they sit in folding chairs.
And what you do is you have it catered. Everyone has some wonderful bagels. And we play a game. And everybody gets a great Q107 prize.
Okay.
It's a way to show how much you care about your listeners.
So brace yourself for applause.
Okay.
Time for our little game show with our in-studio audience called Agree or Disagree. It's Free For All Friday, a chance for fans to see the faces it up behind the microphones.
What are they playing for, Jack?
$250 in cash! Jack, Jimmy, and Chili feel like family to these loyal listeners.
Family. Who called family? Yeah. Who called family?
You did. I did. Somebody did.
No, I think you actually said, we feel like family.
Yeah, no, I think Rob said that, because
all did.
Everybody wins.
Everybody got it. It was pretty close.
Everybody wins when Harvey's on TV.
That's right.
You can smell him through the radio.
Absolutely.
Like having a cocktail party, people coming in and out of conversations, a lot of energy in the room. It's a lot of fun.
Hold on. There
we go. Hold on.
There he is. A lot of people.
There's
a lot of fun. Yeah.
It's
show's
like a cocktail party.
It's a cocktail party. We're just having a good time. Yeah. Listen to the way he talks.
It's excellent to kind of get the lowdown before you hit work. So at least then you can have something to talk about, too.
It also takes your mind off of
his retarded listeners.
Yeah.
Are you really hiring anybody who's on a television game show?
If they sound like best friends on the air, each will tell you it's no app.
I do that all the time.
No,
I actually spend more time with Jimmy than I do my wife. And in fact, Jimmy and I have a pattern picked out at Tiffany. So if you'd like to stop by and
we're
registered.
In Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen, great show at the D.C. Improv this week. The host of the Mix Morning, Jack Diamond, has been waking up Washington listeners for 15 years.
Too bad he's never been able to taste that elusive drink called being number one. Can I tell you something, Harvey? Mike and I, not only have we sipped out of that chalice, we drank it in morning drive, mm-hmm. we drank it in middays, mm-hmm. and we drank it in afternoon drive.
Yeah, sure. It's nice to be with you. How you doing? You sure? Mixed Fellow 743. Yeah.
It's a tasty beverage.
How are you?
Served on ice. It's called market domination.
Is there ever a morning when you come in here at 6 o'clock and nobody's in a good mood?
You know, when you have an ensemble show, somebody's always the spark plug.
An ensemble show!
Is that what we have?
Hold on. Does he think his show is something like Friends? When you have an ensemble show.
Yes, sir. Yes, it's a cast. We're welcome. We're actors. We're mighty puppeteers. Yes, enjoy our ensemble cast.
Yeah. Could you ever picture, even back when we did this crap,
mm-hmm.
we were never that
no.
that holier-than-thou pretentious,
no,
were
never.
We?
Never. This never, never, never.
This indicates he believes he's in show business.
Right.
That's what I get
well,
out
yeah,
of
well,
it.
That's... Yeah. That's true and true, Buzz.
Delusions of grandeur.
Hey, we got a break.
Oh.
Can you call that guy for tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so.
If not, we can do Jack Diamond tomorrow. Tell me what we got to do next.
I think we can probably postpone him. I got to call him.
Listen, here's the thing.
Yeah.
God, we got like 8 million.
Be nice to
he's a good guest, but
million,
it would keep until tomorrow.
8 million good bits today. We got a guy who sells stuff from pop culture. One of the things that he's selling, now that Johnny Carson's dead,
mm-hmm.
is the mug from The Tonight Show
Ooh.
And the curtains.
The rainbow curtains, right.
We're going to play a guessing game, Mike, you and me, to see if we can guess how much some of the celebrity junk costs.
All right, very cool.
And he's a great guest. That'd be a good bit, but... Boy, I'm really into this Harvey thing right now.
I think we should go with Harvey. I'll postpone this gentleman.
Okay.
Especially if we get a few more quotes.
Yeah. Well, when you do an ensemble show, you have to be flexible.
It's an ensemble show.
Because we're like family. And
it's a cocktail party, and the whole family's coming.
You never know who's going to be the fire plug.
Yeah, sure. I'm, I mentioned, my name is P-H-O-N-Y. Holy.
Always somebody has a bad night's sleep, a cold, you know, they bought a stereo system and the DVD player doesn't work. But it also makes for great radio.
You're so real, Jack. You're really not a phony like Mike said. You're so real and down to earth.
Keeping it real. Super duper.
We'll be back.
How do you like my new beard stubble?
Oh, and did you check out?
I haven't seen him, but Buzz was telling me he has a striking resemblance to a gentleman in Philadelphia.
Yes, he does. Yeah. He now he looks like, in previous incarnations, he's been rather Michael McDonaldish.
Right. Okay, right.
He's had the gray hair and the beard.
Mm-hmm.
Now what he's done is he's dyed the hair red. He has a
buzz cut.
Howie Long buzz cut.
Right.
And he's got, I don't know what kind of facial hair now.
Well, he goes through different colors. I know there was a time when he wasn't coloring his beard, and now he may be. You know what's always surprising is how short he is.
He is always fits in anybody's pocket, you know. Colors his beard. What a fag. Hi, everybody.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Harry in the Bronx. Harry, good morning. You're on WABC.
Good morning, Jack Diamond. I don't think I've heard you since last Christmas time. I don't think I was home.
A few times over the summer and in the fall, but appreciate you listening and calling today, Harry.
Absolutely. I just want to say that as an EMS worker, as far as taking a smallpox vaccine is concerned, the consensus is that we wouldn't want to take one unless there was reason to. For
All right, Harry, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Well, you know, you have your choice, Harry. You could do that, or you could get the vaccine.
The Don and Mike Show.
You have to dump that out? Well, everybody gets the joke anyway.
Sure.
We had to dump it out.
Yeah.
They are not dignified. Don and Mike.
Oh, quick note about my musical loves.
Yes.
I found the queerest site over the weekend.
Oh, good for you.
A grassroots site.
Wonderful.
It's like more goldengrass.com. Mm-hmm. A big tribute site to the grassroots, my man Rob Grill. At the Daytona 500 on Sunday, Brian Wilson, my musical hero,
yes,
sang. And really, it was without question the worst performance Brian Wilson has ever given.
Wow.
I T-voted it. I'm going to bring it in tomorrow and play it for you.
Happy birthday,
it's not,
Mrs.
Gray. Here's the thing. It's not his fault. No. I mean, it's probably his fault because he agreed to the gig.
Happy birthday.
He's at the Daytona 500. The acoustics suck.
Yeah.
The acoustics are awful. And the song that they... Now, I don't know why they wouldn't have him...
It wasn't worse than that Barbara Ann that he did.
Yes, it was. Mike, it was.
The tape of Barbara Ann?
Where he was all high? Yes.
Oh, good.
When you dance, Barbara Ann. It's all... Well, the, maybe it wasn't that bad.
No.
But I'm thinking, you know... They could have done Fun, Fun, Fun.
Yeah.
The Beach Boys had a million songs about cars.
Mm-hmm.
The song they had him do was the toughest song to recreate live, Good Vibrations.
But that's what that's the one they always want.
Yeah.
But it sucked. And it's too bad because I'm a big Brian Wilson fan.
I know.
But that sucked.
You'll have the tape. Thing you wear.
Yeah, tomorrow we'll play the tape of Brian Wilson. The great Brian Wilson.
Great.
And who knows, maybe next year Rob Grill from the Grassroots will be invited to sing at the Daytona 500.
Daytona 500.
Now, listen, back to...
In the morning.
Right, Jive Ass Radio. Okay, we've heard the beginning part of the feature on Jive Ass Jack Diamond.
I should mention this was on this afternoon on the local TV station.
Yes.
And Don and I were talking during the break. The great thing about this... We didn't have to preview this.
No.
We didn't have to...
We knew.
Once we knew Jack Diamond was going to be interviewed on television, we knew
that
the jive factor would be off the charts.
And it is.
And it is. Yeah. And that's what makes it great, because it's like, yeah, we're a family. Thanks so much. Yeah, we're registered at Tiffany's. You produce.
Mike had really the best comment during the break.
Yeah.
We took off the headphones, and Mike said, you know, God, what if like... He would have come off as a great guy. I mean, we're taking a chance by playing that tape. And then he thought for a second.
Yeah. I said, what am I thinking?
Yeah.
Of course not.
Anything with Jack Diamond's going to be jive ass.
Absolutely.
Right. All right, let's give this thing a listen.
Jack Diamond Morning Show, Mix 107.3. And we're mixing it up with the morning crew at Mix 107.
He's got the first quote we missed.
Oh, all right, let it play.
Yeah, the first quote from him.
Faces behind the mic. Jack Diamond and Company kicked things off early with their brand of play-by-play humor on the day.
And, you know, I don't care if me and Mike, we're on the radio for 30 freaking years in this town, and we're number one in 100 straight ratings books. These TV stations... Even though they're desperate for publicity.
Yes, they make you inevitably look like a fool.
But they will not come our way anymore.
Oh, they won't. No, they won't. They've learned.
Because we burned all those bridges.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because we also, you know, let them come into the studio for like 2 seconds with the camera. Gets out.
Yeah, because it's always the same shot. They always say, for me, can we get a shot of your hands moving the controls?
Every single time.
And then with Mike, it's, can we get a shot of you back there reacting?
Ooh, wow.
As you normally are. And then the last thing always... Can you guys just act a little crazy?
Yeah. Can you act there? You know, no, we can't. We're just talking.
And the thing that's the most jive about this is Jack Diamond saying that his show is like a family and every day somebody's the spark plug. Here's the thing. A true family is what we have on this show. And that is the truth, that some days we don't like each other.
Right.
Some days we're pissed off, not at the world, we're pissed off at somebody on the show. It happens.
Yeah.
But we get over it because we really are friends.
And we like what we do.
And that's the difference.
Right.
That really is the difference.
Because you can tell, you can practically feel that energy that's all pent up there, you know.
Hope so.
Because we know who that energy is directed at, too. We've talked to plenty of people who have worked with the guy.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot.
It's like, could you ever imagine anybody asking us about our show and saying, well, it's like a cocktail party?
No, we wouldn't say that.
It's like a bunch of guys who've known each other for 20 years. And
it's like a book burning.
And that book is the Bible.
We got a chance to sit in on air with some loyal listeners.
Time for our little game show with our in-studio audience called Agree or Disagree.
And they edit these to make, no matter who the disc jockey is, appear to be a buffoon. Although in this case, you know,
done.
Microphone. No problem.
What are they playing for, Jack? $250 in cash.
Jack, Jimmy, and Chili feel like family to these loyal listeners.
It's kind of like having a cocktail party, people coming in and out of conversations, a lot of energy in the room. It's a lot of fun.
It's excellent.
Jive ass.
Slow down before you hit work. So at least then you can have something to talk about, too.
It also takes your mind off of sitting in traffic.
Stupid bitches.
Hiring anybody who's on a television game show.
If they sound like best friends on the air, each will tell you it's no app.
I do that all the time.
I actually spend more time with Jimmy than I do my wife. And in fact, Jimmy and I have a pattern picked out at Tiffany, so if you'd like to stop by.
Listen, we know those people hate him and they tolerate him. Let me tell you how it works on a real show with real friends. And I would throw this challenge out to Jack Diamond.
All right.
I like to I'm the little ringleader of our gang, but everybody's friends. Mm-hmm. I would throw this out to him over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Who talked on this show over the weekend as friends? Well, Mike and I talked over the weekend as friends.
Mm-hmm.
Rob and I, well, that's continuous.
Right. Right.
Buzz and I talked as friends over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Beth Ann and I talked as but that was a sexual call, Beth Ann.
But that counts. And you had the police remove Joe from your house.
Now you want to know the truth?
Where he was again, you know.
I even chatted with Jovia, the old I am.
Oh,
excellent.
I mean, point here is, and I don't instigate all these calls with people. The point is, we do get along, but we don't feel the need to get on the radio and sell you on that.
Yeah, but
right?
That's necessary because he's selling it. Yes, sir, Jack Diamond, how are you?
But if you're a phony and all the people that you work with really hate you and you really hate them, well, then you got to try to sell the fact that you're a big family.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun.
That's fun, yeah.
A lot of fun.
It's an ensemble. Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, you know, it's like,
put a plaque in my car.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah, super. You're forbidden to date anybody outside of the ring. See, those are the memories that linger.
That's a good one, though.
I'll be playing with the Moody Blues. It's a lot of fun.
Hey, listen, you MFers. When I was in San Diego, I had a 17.5 share. You GD MFers. Jack Diamond, good morning.
Let's see if he sounds good again.
Work. So at least then you can have something to talk about, too.
It
so.
Also takes your mind off of sitting in traffic.
Are you really hiring anybody who's on a television game show?
Right, I'll stop talking. It will stop stopping it and talking.
No way.
I do that all the time.
I actually spend more time with Jimmy than I do my wife. And in fact, Jimmy and I have a pattern picked out at Tiffany. So if you'd like to stop by and
we're registered. In Washington, D.C., ladies and gentlemen, great show at the D.C. Improv this week.
The host of the Mixed Morning, Jack Diamond, has been waking up Washington listeners for 15 years.
Is there ever a morning when you come in here at 6 o'clock and nobody's in a good mood?
You know, when you have an ensemble show, somebody's always the spark plug.
Ensemble.
Almost always somebody has a bad night's sleep, a cold.
I mean, you take yourself too seriously.
They bought a stereo system and the DVD player doesn't work. But it also makes for great radio.
Jack always has music on his mind. Outside the studio, he plays guitar and sings around town in his own band.
Unplugged.
On the air, he's more play-by-play, according to his sidekick, Jimmy Alexander. Jimmy says that means his role is color.
I write really inappropriate things on pieces of paper.
Yeah.
And I show them to him when he's trying to talk. And my goal is to make him laugh.
After Free for All Friday.
All right. Let me give you another tip here.
Mm-hmm.
First off, Mike, who is my partner, not my sidekick, if Mike wants to make me laugh, here's what Mike does. He says something funny.
He speaks.
And I laugh. Yeah. Mike doesn't have to write the F word down and hold it, although that doesn't make me laugh.
And I've done that before.
But the problem is, if Mike writes something down and holds it up, I say it.
Yeah.
I've done that.
It's dangerous.
Mike has written stuff.
Of all the things that we had to learn working together, that took me about 10 years to actually learn.
Don't write it down.
Don't put it in front of him. He will read it.
So jive, though.
Perhaps the problem with the Jack Diamond show is they're writing down everything that's funny and they're not saying it.
Oh, inappropriate. Like, you hear anything inappropriate on that show.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Thanks so much.
Well, my job is just to make Jack laugh, so what I do is I write down, like, F this and F that all the time and hold it up for him, huh? Am I right, Jackson?
Today's the guests line up for a buffet. Their body clocks are thinking dinner since they've been here since 5, so they're served lobster and filet mignon.
I beg your humble acceptance of my little gift. Your shrimp platter is here.
Oh, this is where they have their listeners down and they feed them food.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right.
Because that's a radio thing that's never been done before.
Very creative.
Hey, thank you.
You need to come visit more often. Usually, if you're aware, I'm feeding him. I'm going to take advantage of this very rare occasion that this happens. I don't, you know, Jack, while you're there, I'd really love to get a little shoulder rub. Because
My pleasure. Let me set the shrimp platter down.
Where's right here?
Oh, of course. But,
protected by her own glass booth, the first person to arrive in the mornings is Chili Amar.
All right, so hold on a second. What they were showing there, incidentally, she could be in the Anaz family, couldn't she? She could be the daughter.
She could be in the calendar.
She could be very much. She could be the daughter of the sister of Barus, and you're right, she could be in the calendar.
Barus, thank you. The calendar. Yeah.
So I guess what they were doing there was, and I haven't seen the video on this. As Mike indicated, we're going on a fly on this.
Mm-hmm.
It was phony stock footage or phony footage they made of Jack Diamond, like, eating with his listeners.
Being
and showing
playful
him.
With the crew and the cast.
Yeah, right. Because he's so down to earth.
Yeah, it's a shame we're not getting a few more. I wanted more quotes from Jack. Everybody's friend.
Yeah, I mean, why couldn't you just be honest? I'd be honest. I love the fact that all of you people are listening to our show. I could not stand it if you dirty people were in here.
You don't want to eat
eating
together.
And touching us. And you don't want to be here.
You dirty people.
You want to listen to us. You don't want to.
Dirty people.
You can't bring food in here.
Dirty people, like physically dirty or dirty of mind?
Yes.
Or
both. Yes.
Dirty people.
Yeah, let's see what Chili Amar gets in. Donut hour.
Yeah. I'm going to try something with Mike.
All right. I don't read stuff you write down.
I just want to see if it would make you laugh. Because I'm being like Jimmy, Jack Psychic.
Hey, Diamond, that was totally inappropriate.
I wrote down the S word.
Southbound, GW Parkway. We can see each other, but I don't have to put up with their shenanigans during the commercial break in the songs, because I'm in here doing serious stuff, Jim.
That's right.
News and traffic.
You got to rise above it all.
You know, I can't be sitting here dealing with them wrestling all the time around me.
She delivers the traffic, weather, and news reports. Chili's also known for sharing glimpses of her personal life. A night out, a quirky encounter, a new boyfriend.
A gangbang. I'm Jim Hadley.
A night of having her stomach pumped a la Rod Stewart. Although, listen, if you saw that chick.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Not a chance.
Maybe dim lighting.
Jim Hamley. Who's Jiver? It's hard to keep track.
I think Jack is, but Jim's not bad.
He's a close second.
I think that if we were too careful with each other and didn't want to step on each other's toes, that you'd be able to hear it. And it wouldn't be real.
And yes, Chili is her real name. You know, neck grubs, lobster, we could get used to that.
Yeah, I like the look of those shrimp.
Hell.
Hi. And now we get to that quality local banter. Yes.
So that's fantastic. And see, here's the thing about something like that. The disc jockey, the stupid disc jockey, we know because we've been in this position.
Right.
What you do is you whore out your entire show to this TV station.
Right. For the whole day.
You don't care about what you're doing on the radio. You're looking at the camera. You're doing everything for stupid TV. It ends up being a 2.5 minute piece of garbage like that.
That's all you get.
Where they just refer to you as, you know, local morning guy.
And yes, her name really is Chili. Yes, three.
Those shrimp look good.
Named because she eats so darn much of it.
How'd I get my name then?
His name is Buzz because he's always Buzz.
Chili will be out of the Mix 107 gangbang this weekend. Chili will be on her back all weekend. Don't forget, every guy she bangs will put a dollar in the Salvation Army kettle for little Tommy who's sick with cancer right here on the Diamond of the Morning.
It's like a cocktail party conversation. People come in and out, and,
and we're registered at Tiffany's.
Thank you, Jim Hamley. And now back to the fun.
That's Chili. I met her in the Q107 F truck.
Yes, sir. It was quite a party that time.
Hello there. Ryan. Oh, we got to go to Buzz's news time. Ryan.
Radio God.
Yeah, what?
You were commenting on the fact how Mr. Diamond comes on the air and has to sell the fact that him and his crew are friendly.
That's right.
But you guys, you don't have to sell it because magic like that, it sells itself.
Magic like that, it sells itself. Yes, there it is. Magic.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people. He made it up.
You can't put a price tag on our gangbang.
That's right.
Like Chili, he's in a room by himself. Mm-hmm. I'm Jim Hadley.
Jimmy Hadley.
Buzz Burbank, who's repeatedly gang raped.
Yes.
As part of the friendship ritual on the Don and Mike show.
Every single one of them has been violated at some time in their lives. That's why it works so well.
Gang rape and shrimp goes together for the drive home.
You don't have to tell me.
Buzz.
Hey, that was Jim, totally inappropriate.
I'm Jim Hadley.
Hi, Jim.
How come we never come see Don and Mike? They got big ratings, but they don't do that job. Hey,
that's right.
Did you hear the news about them? They got canned in Green Bay today.
Boy, were they mighty angry.
Buzz?
Yes.
What is your lead story on the news and comments tonight?
Tonight, hey, Bush, got any weed? The president's drug history resurfaces.
Yeah, and we've got the tapes of that dude the real tapes of Bush.
Hey, that's totally inappropriate.
Cocktail sauce and blood discharge.
Thank you. Lots of fun. Put that in your local news.
It's like a cocktail party.
It is, yeah. Lots of sauce.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, that was very
Hanley rational.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They whore it like bitches. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, those are going to be official website of our show. www.donandmikewebsite.com. I'll be loading up this stuff with people from Green Bay today. The people in Green Bay can't hear this.
No.
They should go to the part of our website that says can't hear the show.
And you know, while you're there, you might want to check out what I do believe is one of the finest souvenir stores that's available on the internet.
Better than Gallagher's, Mike?
It's much better than Gallagher's. I think you'll truly enjoy it.
And you can buy even if you're from Green Bay?
Absolutely.
Time for news and comments now, brought to you by Smoke Break.
This is good smoke.
Smoke Break, break is a nasty habit. It's like a Bush thing, because we're going to talk about weed.
Yeah.
Smoke Break, revolutionary tablets for smokers. Get it now at fine retailers. Now here's Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
President Clinton claimed he never inhaled. President Bush made no such claim. In newly released, secretly recorded conversations, the president indicates he smoked marijuana, but that he would never admit it out of fear of setting a bad example for children. On Sunday, ABC News was the first to air the tapes that were made between 1998 and the year 2000 by a man named Doug Weed, a former aide to Bush Sr., who's now hawking a book he's written.
Is it Weed or Mead, his last name? Is his last name really
W-E-A-D, Weed.
Weed,
yeah. Giving Weed a bad name.
Wow.
Quoting Bush on tape, I wouldn't answer the marijuana question because I don't want some little kid doing what I tried. You got to understand, I want to be president. Do you want your little kid to say, President Bush tried marijuana, I think I will?
Now, everybody, I know you think that Buzz slants the news.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, back me up here.
Do you think Buzz is making this up?
I know he's telling the truth.
Yes. Here you go.
I wouldn't answer the marijuana question. Uh-huh. You know why? Because I don't want some little kid doing what I tried.
Yeah, and it never stops. Question.
But we gotta understand. I want to be president. I want to lead. I want to set. Do you want your little kid say, "Hey, Daddy, President Bush tried marijuana. I think I will."
Sounds good.
Cocaine thing. Let me tell you my strategy on that.
My strategy.
Rather than just saying no.
Yeah.
I think it's time for somebody to just draw the line and look people in the eye.
Just said do a line.
Oh, yes.
Draw a line.
Draw the line.
Sorry.
Either way.
And say, you know, I am not going to participate in ugly rumors about me and blame my opponents. And hold the line and stand up for a system that will not allow this kind of crap to go on.
Oh, you should be coming on pretty soon, dude. How much do you smoke?
This will be a little demonstration of that. Listen up.
Another secret recording.
That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
Al Gore, I tried it. It wasn't a part of my life. He doesn't give a damn.
Al Gore. He made fun of Al Gore on the tape also for admitting that he had tried marijuana.
Make
fun of him for being honest.
Right. Here's the guy, Doug Weed, and why he didn't release these tapes.
Well, I can tell you, I didn't do it for money. I could sell the tapes even now for tremendous amounts of money. We've had snippets, there's hours of tapes, and I didn't do it to sell books. This book could have been released before the election, driven by partisan sales. The publisher wanted it. Uh-huh. I wouldn't let it, and my publicist told me at the time that cost you $1 million. This is about history. This is about we sell our presidents like boxes of cereal. And here's a study that talks about their parents, their siblings, and how leadership is triggered.
The author says he just could have easily have blown the whistle on Gandhi or Winston Churchill. It wouldn't have mattered to him that it didn't make any difference historically, that he would have blown the whistle on any of these guys.
Why should I tell people that Gandhi does coke?
Oh,
then their kids will say, I want to be a cokehead like Gandhi.
I know, it's more marijuana. Why do you think they call it gang?
And since the government is still losing its expensive war on drugs, that leaves it in the hands of the parents. And a new survey shows that most parents simply are not up to the job.
You know what I have to say to that?
What?
Beat the parents.
The Partnership for a Drug-Free
and after
America.
That, yes. Meet the Falkers.
Are you a pothead, Falker?
It's about a boy and his dragon.
I pass on grass.
The Partnership for a Drug-Free America found in its survey that barely half of all parents would be upset if their kids experimented with marijuana. The survey found that today's parents are more likely to use drugs themselves than were their parents, and that today's parents are less likely to speak with their kids about drug abuse. The number of parents not talking with their kids about drugs has doubled in the last 6 years because today's parents don't see as much risk in experimentation as did their parents.
Hello.
So maybe parents are not the anti-drug.
Hello.
And even, hi, Julia. Don't be like your daddy and worship the green bottles.
Even if the war on drugs were
see,
won.
Rob, alcohol is a drug as well.
Maybe, maybe not.
I'm sorry to tell you that, friend.
I could not even possibly disagree with you more.
And that's not the only one. Even if the war on drugs were won, there'd still be cough syrup. Dateline, Cape Coral, Florida. Two 19-year-old guys are dead, and their friend is in the hospital after the three of them had a little Corsedon HBP party.
I'll drink to that.
They ordered the Corsedon HBP cough and cold medicine over the internet. It contains the sedative dextromethorphan, which is used to stifle the cough reflex.
I think I say that again.
Dextromethorphan.
He was great at the NBA All-Star game this weekend. I think he's one of the guys from Yugoslavia.
Fantastic. He's great. In high doses, it also causes hallucinations and apparently death. The three syrup drinkers were all found unconscious Sunday morning. The one survivor may be brain damaged.
Yeah, you take it. I want to thank the paramedics for rescuing me. And I want to say I miss my friends.
Now sing Good Vibrations.
Good. Give the vision.
Welcome to Daytona, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you. But on the bright side, when they went to the crime scene, no one was coughing.
And you need to look no further for proof that society turns a blind eye to drug abuse than to the horse racing tracks of Illinois. There, officials have determined that it may be okay if a horse has a little cocaine in its system before a race. The state's racing regulators say that, like humans, horses should get some wiggle room in a drug test.
Hey, what's the line on this race?
Illinois horses get a urine test just after the race.
Hold on, let's ask Sarah Jessica Parker about this. There she is. Yeah, you got it.
She's all coked up. Any amount of cocaine found in a horse's system makes its owner subject to a fine. But traces of cocaine can be found traces of cocaine can be found on most of America's paper money, and as one report mentioned, the clothing of the people who train the horses.
That horse needs a hit.
Now we know why they whisper. But this week, the Illinois Racing Board voted to set 150 nanograms per milliliter as the amount of cocaine that has to be found to disqualify a race winner. Louisiana adopted a similar standard 5 years ago.
I stocked the barn with simply oats and pen caps.
Is that the reason that you're not letting your daughter spend time with their pony?
This is true.
Hershey
the pony. Terrible habit.
It's a gateway animal. This story is not getting the fanfare it deserves. Doctors say they believe they have eliminated SARS as a threat to humans.
SARS!
Hold on, Buzz.
You remember SARS. There's my fanfare. Thank
There's
you.
There's a fanfare.
Yeah. You may remember SARS as the Canadian disease that killed 800
people.
I'll
tell you this about SARS.
What?
They advertise that they run all kinds of movies you can't see on HBO. Uh-huh.
No. That's so that, styes.
It's STARS, not SARS. Not
size, styes.
It's like a cocktail party.
Exactly.
Conversation in and out, yeah.
SARS caused great hysteria until, I don't know, something else distracted us. Unless
it was a gangbanger, I think, with Chili Amar.
Unless it escapes from a lab.
Hey,
or
how about that gangbanger?
Or unless SARS mutates into a new form, experts believe it will never again infect humans with its severe acute respiratory syndrome.
Oh, that's so good, Buzz.
They say the disease still exists in animals, but will not likely pass again from them to us, even though that's what happened last time.
Long as we can eat the animals.
Wasn't SARS like a Japanese-Chinese thing anyway?
I believe it was from Asia. Isn't that where it started?
Yeah, I believe that's true, but I think Canada was perhaps hardest hit, along with about 11 other countries.
That's when we were always worried about who was coming in on what flights.
Right. SARS.
Get it from your acupuncture lady.
Doctors.
Rob, I told you. She's a roundup.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to see her tomorrow. Yeah.
Doctors now say they have a SARS vaccine and can neutralize the virus in people who do get it. If Paris Hilton's cell phone got hacked, yours could be too.
Yeah, because she's so scary smart.
That's our story when we come back.
Mark Cuban wanted to be on the show today.
Oh, really?
We didn't have time for him because he's pissed because His was one of the numbers.
Oh. He got hacked.
I think he got, I don't know what he told Beth. You know, Beth Ann has that weird clandestine email thing with him. But I think it was like 15 calls he got before he changed the number.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what she says about Mark Cuban?
What?
It's okay to a point.
Betting to a point.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
Don and Mike Show.
Who will touch you in the place called the heart? Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Now, this is from BA. All this month, it's FLA all the way. From DeltaVacations.com, this week's destination. And this is a great trip with round trip air on Delta, Amos rental car, hotel accommodations. Michael, Fort Myers.
Oh, what a wonderful place. Go down there and see the Boston Red Sox.
Go down there and rip off Mike's condo.
Go have fun.
Here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Yes, if Paris Hilton's cell phone got hacked, yours can be too. Of course, a hacker wouldn't find in yours what he found in hers, namely Eminem, Vin Diesel, Lindsay Lohan, Christina Aguilera, Ashley Simpson, Anna Kournikova,
SP.
And apparently Mark Cuban.
SP.
Oh, a lot of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Angry.
All of their info.
ASP. Ass.
All of their info, all of these people, up on a website over the weekend. Yes?
That's a joke nobody gets. My apologies.
I got it.
Well, I meant nobody except those of us at the cocktail party.
Those of us in the family.
Yeah,
in the family, in and out, like conversation. Part of the ensemble.
Where's Buzz? Who's in his private room like Julie Omar waiting for the gangbang.
That's right. That Paris is smart. You know how she, one of the listings in her cell phone was aid, comma, right.
Really?
Yes, I guess she needs to go to the drugstore occasionally, but it wasn't listed as Rite Aid.
No.
It was aid, comma, right.
Right.
And under the A's.
Duh!
And what was it, Buzz? Was it that sidekick thing that...
she had a sidekick, a T-Mobile sidekick.
What's his name? Who does the... Is it Snoop that does the
ads? Oh, there's a lot of people on the ads.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds is in the ads.
But Snoop is the main guy, I think, does it.
Yeah. Wait, but I think it's mainly Snoop Doggy Dog who has to ask how to do the rinse cycle. Is that the thing? That's it.
Well, the website with his info is gone now, and the FBI's investigating. So is T-Mobile. They're investigating as well. They made the sidekick that got hacked. Now, a month ago, T-Mobile admitted that a hacker had gotten the names and social security numbers of 400 of its customers. Experts say Palm Pilots and Blackberries and other PDAs are also susceptible, sometimes to a hacker standing less than 30 feet away from you.
You know, I use
what?
Mr. T-Mobile. That's right.
Pity the fool who hacks this.
Pity the fool. Thank
now,
you, Mike.
Mr. T can still be funny.
And so can Mrs. T. And what a great Bloody Mary mix she makes.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Now, the first mobile...
And don't forget about Dr. T and the women.
Oh, man.
That's a bad, bad movie with Richard Gere.
You're king of the T's.
Don't I know it. Don't I know it.
Always have been. The first mobile phone...
That's the first place I go.
The first mobile phone virus, meanwhile, has made its way into the U.S. direct from the Philippines, where the virus first appeared 8 months ago. Already, the virus comes with variations, 15 variations.
It was my cell phone.
In some cases, it's even programmed to drain your battery. The first case in this country showed up in the display case at a mobile phone store in Santa Monica, California. Manufacturers have just now started adding antivirus software to their phones. Nokia smartphones were the first to get infected. In sports, the real winners at this year's Daytona 500 may have been the children of 59-year-old Hal Hicks. Police arrested Hicks in the stands for non-payment of $37,000 in child support. However, did they know where to find him? The top chassis designer for the Hendrick team has resigned after being arrested for driving along Highway A1A drunk, wearing nothing but a towel.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah, I hear ye.
And at the University of Toronto, Ken Helburn gets a pass from the referees when he moves during a foul shot. That's because Ken has Tourette's. Quoting him, it's not a severe case, and I guess I'm lucky for that.
Miss it. I saw that on ESPN,
right?
And what was great was whoever the anchor was coming out of it, Reese, what's his name? One of those Trey Wingo guys.
Right.
Trying so hard not to laugh that it was funny, saying, you know, That's what we're all about here. The story behind the story. Meanwhile, as soon as the camera goes off, they're all going, bitch, 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 son of a bitch, goddamn, poop, 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 poop.
Hypocrites. Finally, the topic is losers. A 23-year-old veteran, the sheriff's department.
Jack Diamond.
Of Hamilton, Ohio, a 23-year veteran of that department is now unemployed. Greg Blankenship was found early Sunday morning, passed out drunk in his car at the drive-through window of the local Steak and Shake. He refused a breathalyzer test because he had a prior. He just resigned. And white trash.
Steak and Shakes kick ass in the Midwest.
The Chili Mac.
Oh, great.
My God, baby.
White trash always seems to find a way to out-trash itself. In Arkansas, a couple of girls used their mom's camera to take pictures of themselves and their friends naked after skinny dipping. The pictures are, however, surprisingly graphic, and that drew the attention of a film developer who called police. Police then went to the home and found their mother's meth lab.
Yeah, I see fish.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No! No!
Yeah, that's it.
We're
out of here. That's enough damage for one day.
Yes, we've done enough today.
Car dealer.
Everybody.
Gallagher.
Everybody.
Green Bay.
Jack Diamond.
We'll see you tomorrow. Please stay tuned for Rod and Fez, who, for a change, are not being preempted by some sports jackass tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you, boy.
I love Steak and Shake. I have Parkinson's.
That's funny.
Thank you.
Till we meet again.
Sammy. Okay, goodbye.
Be kind.
See, Steak and Shake.
I hope the next performance.
Parkinson's
Shake. Funny.
Drive gently, my sweet.
Swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.